If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What service is it that you are a captain in? What makes you the captain, Robbie Knievel?
I'm in love. I'm in love with my mattress.
Habitual now that it almost seems like just habit.
I tell you what, man, ain't no dang old lady about her, man. They're getting old liquored up, man. I'm coming on strong. That paw me like a dang old animal, man. I'll tell them no means no.
You're an idiot.
Are you with me? Yay or nay?
Which one means yes?
Yay.
Yay! Oh, and if you guys aren't too busy, could you please just go to hell?
Today we're interviewing WOHN announcer Gene Baxter, who in a surprise press conference Friday afternoon announced his plans to leave the radio station.
And now.
Well, what did the management have to say when you told them you wanted to leave?
Stay for just a while.
Anything else?
Our feature presentation.
What else did they tell you? Anything else?
Did they say anything else to you?
Did they say anything in via a clip from a song, perhaps, to you?
What a dork.
So I'm having a nightmare last night, and the Raiders are playing the Eagles. And
that was your nightmare? I thought that was my nightmare.
Oh, wait.
What were you doing
in
my nightmares?
That did happen.
Yeah. How about that, huh?
It was rough.
Any given Sunday, I guess that's why the cliche rings true.
Welcome back from vacation, Ralph.
Yeah, good times.
You're so happy to see your team lose to the Raiders.
Here's the thing. I feel crappy, obviously, but I would feel worse if the Raiders didn't just bring it.
Yeah, they did.
Their defense was swarming. Richard Seymour and that D, they got home to McNabb. They sacked him like 6 times. I mean, they were...
Where did they come from, though?
I mean,
they
had no
been playing
idea.
This whole season.
They played out of their heads. And, you know, we were bad. But they, as bad as we were, they were good.
Yeah,
so,
that's
look,
true.
Sometimes the team beats you. I think about the NFL season in general is that sometimes you lose games you're supposed to win.
Sure.
And then a couple games that you should have lost, you're going to end up winning. So
yeah, that makes sense.
It's too early for me to panic. But it was a shock.
You
it was a shocker.
You just don't want it to be the Raiders, though. I mean, honestly.
You know, I am not nearly the Raider hater that Bean is.
Me either. But they've not been good.
No, they haven't.
So it's not the team that you necessarily want to roll over you.
No, but
you know, I had a nightmare last night with Philadelphia involved too.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It involved the numbers 11 and 0.
It sure did.
I bet it did.
The Dodgers lost 11-0.
Yeah, they got crushed.
Oh my God! Yeah. Where's the series now?
It's in Philly.
2-1 though.
Philly's up 2-1. Yeah, and there's another game tonight. So
yeah, what is it? Is it 2-3-2?
Uh-huh.
So there's 3 games in Philadelphia. So yeah. It was the first of 3 they played.
Joe Torre brought up a good point. He said, sometimes losing like this is actually a benefit because I don't lose any sleep tonight going, well, maybe I made the wrong decision.
We were
this
so
pitcher
close.
In, or I should have pinched it for this guy. We just got blown out of the water.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
And the Phils really tossed that the second game away, really. They with their errors and whatnot.
They
really
walked the winning run.
Yeah, they blew that one. So.
But other than that, everything was cool.
Okay, last night I was going, oh, I wish I was a baseball fan. I'd be so happy right now.
Walk the winning run in. That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
All right, let's start today's program with your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
So, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
And just for getting on the air today, you get a pair of passes to Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights.
Ooh.
And a pair of Run of Engagement passes to see Saw 6.
Ooh.
Universal Halloween Horror Nights, where the most horrifying movies come to life. And for the first time ever, you'll take on the infamous traps from Saw in an all-new maze.
Would you like to play a game?
Saw 6 in theaters
nice.
Friday.
You know who was at the Universal Halloween Haunt?
No.
Recently. Was Elizabeth Taylor and Michael Jackson's kids.
What?
Elizabeth Taylor took Michael Jackson's kids to Universal's Halloween Haunt.
Wasn't she just in the hospital twittering
for heart
about
surgery?
For heart
yes.
surgery.
Apparently she's out. She's on the mend because she took Michael Jackson's kids to the Halloween Haunt.
Wow.
And I'm guessing she was the scariest thing there.
I would imagine so, yes. All right, let's start with George, who wants to continue to harass Ralph. Hi, George.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
What's up, George?
Well, Ralph kind of blew me out of the water there. I was going to give him a little hard time about the Eagles losing so badly to the Raiders.
Yeah. I'm okay with it. I think it's only because it's still early in the season, and with 2 losses, it puts my team sort of in the middle of the pack there. So we'll see. You know, it's all about getting to the playoffs. That's all I really care about.
Well, yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a hard time in that NFC, but...
I don't know. I agree. The NFC looks awesome this year. How about those Saints?
How about those Saints? Saints?
What's up with them? They're ridiculous.
They crush the Giants.
You
crush
watch
the
them
Giants.
Every week and you go, okay, well, they're doing well.
They're going to be exposed at some point, right?
At some point, they're going to show the weakness that they have.
They're a juggernaut.
They're just destroy the Giants.
Ridiculous. And the Vikes with the old man Favre at the helm look pretty good, too.
Yep. 31-30. That was a crazy game, too.
It's a great weekend in football.
Let's go to David. Hi, David. Hello.
Hey, what did you, nephews?
What did you,
baby boo?
What's going on?
Yeah, so anyway, I was at the taping of the Spike TV Scream Awards.
Yes.
And I ran into, I think you guys are familiar with her. You guys co-hosted with her for a whole week, Miss Olivia Munn.
Oh, the Munster. Sure.
Yeah, the Munster.
Oh, man, dude. Meeting her for like 5 seconds was heaven.
Yeah.
She's a sweetheart.
She's a sweetheart. And
yeah, you guys were lucky to co-host with her for a whole week, man.
It turns out she's hot as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And great in bed.
What?
Yeah. What? I mean.
You said great in bed.
No, I mean, she's pretty to look at.
In bed.
In bed.
Yeah, man. I met her for 5 seconds, so I was in a state of shock.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll bet she will remember that forever, David.
She will. Who won Best Scream at the Scream Awards?
You know what?
Do they have that?
I don't know.
I was in the you know, wizard, so.
What?
He was going to the bathroom during Best Scream, I guess.
Time, so.
I didn't even know there was a Best Scream category. It's called the Scream Awards. I figured there had to be
that
one, right?
That award show is the ultimate collection of Boontang. It's unbelievable, that show.
Just super hot girls?
They invite like Sports Illustrated models. It's, people have nothing
to
like do
with
it.
It's like a horror film award show, right?
Right, but they fill it with like Marissa Miller. Like for no reason these girls are there. But
Because it's the closest most of these guys will ever get to hot chicks. Yeah. So they load them up. It's like a comic book convention, you know?
That's true. Like David was blown away by 5 seconds.
That's right.
Emmanuel, hi.
Hey, what up? What'd it do?
What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew?
All right, so we're at Newport Beach this weekend. My girlfriend wanted to go picnic and crap. I went ahead and bought her a Subway sandwich, whatever she likes and stuff. She's digging on her sandwich. Apparently, a seagull came and crapped in her food. She didn't notice, and she freaking bit into it. I'm not kidding you.
Did she notice originally just by the way it tasted? She didn't see it?
Well, as soon as she bit into it, she knew that something was... She hates mayonnaise. So she knew that something was in there that shouldn't have been there. She freaking spits it out. Dude, I went through so many bottles of water and soda. We got home. She was at least in the bathroom with Listerine for half an hour.
I think those seagulls know what they're doing. I really do. I think they know.
She got dive bombed?
Yep. I think let's get that sandwich.
That's awesome. I didn't order the pesto sauce. What's this?
Here's what I like, though, is that you didn't tell her, did you?
Oh, I didn't know. I mean,
oh, you didn't know either. Okay.
No, it was... I felt bad, but I couldn't help but freaking laughing at her.
Yeah, you can't. That's the right thing to do. You have to do that when somebody eats poop. All right, let's go to Sergio.
Seagulls eat garbage, too. It's not it's an animal that eats holistic food that you're going to get good stuff out of the other end, even, you know?
Does anyone get good stuff out of the other end?
If there's an animal that's eating, like, high-quality food, you figure it's probably less garbage on the way out. But seagulls, garbage in, garbage out. You know what I'm saying?
Speaking of which, let's go to Sergio. Hi.
Hi, what it do, Kevin and Bean? Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm an MTA bus operator, and I caught the phantom pooper.
Uh-oh.
You had a phantom pooper on your bus?
Yes, sir. I had LAPD pick him up yesterday.
Really? You saw him?
Yeah, I was doing the 720 line, which goes from Commerce Center to Santa Monica, and a customer started telling me it smelled really bad. You know, it smelled like the fear. And, I mean, it stunk.
Who are these people that do that in public? I'll never understand that. We had one here at the radio station for a while that would just destroy the place.
But how does this guy think he's going to get away with doing it on a bus?
Yeah, I know. I mean, it stunk.
What does he get charged with?
Like Mike's cousin or something.
Hey, it's probably Mike. I can't believe he's here. He got it on a bail.
What does he get charged with by the police? What's the charge there?
Public pooping?
But they said he's done it before. They're like, oh, you know what?
Sure.
He's a serial pooper.
Clark, yeah, exactly. Sure. We know Clark. Yeah, he poops everywhere. We know him.
Thank you for the call, Sergio. Let's go to Joe, who wants to talk a little baseball. Hi, Joe.
How's it going, guys?
What's going on?
What'd it do, nephew?
What'd you think about that Angel game Saturday?
Yeah, I didn't watch that as it is baseball.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But what a game.
Was it a good game?
It was a great game.
The outcome wasn't so good.
No, I was pissing at the Elks, man. What a lot of bad calls. And, man, bad officiating in New York this season.
Yeah,
Since we're talking about poop, I'm in construction.
Right?
And We get a call over the radio saying, hey, we need to go pick up some poop off of one of the levels. So we get there, and these guys, they decide to just poop right in a piece of toilet paper and just leave it right. They'll throw it in the air conditioning ducts, whatever, man. It's just disgusting.
What is wrong with people?
I don't know. I think they get the...
And how does every caller on our line have a story about it?
Well... I don't know, man. I think...
Is it homeless dudes, or is it like construction workers, or who hits you there?
These are the construction workers, man.
Oh, that's low rent.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, usually construction workers are the epitome of class and style. Don't
sure,
get me wrong. So I'm shocked at that behavior.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Raya. Raya? Ria? How do you say your name?
Hey, you.
Ryan?
Hey, person.
Ryan? Is your name Ryan?
Oh, how about
Ryan.
That? There's an N on the end of it.
Cleo must be here.
Nelson? Good.
What are you calling about?
What to do? I was calling to see if you guys saw this weekend on the news. There was a lady in Australia, Sydney, Australia, at a train station.
Mm-hmm.
And, she had a baby with the stroller right next to the tracks, and the baby rolled off onto the track and got hit by the train.
Right in front of a train, yeah.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Yeah. And survived with just a bump on its head.
It pushed the stroller 100 feet. The baby never went underneath the train and was fine, just had a little bump on its head.
Oh, can you imagine?
No, and she was reaching down, and the train just came flying by.
Oh, man.
Bad timing.
That's a bad weekend
right
there.
Boy, that's a good result.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's best case scenario.
Best possible.
However, that mother will never let that child out of her arms again.
Yeah.
Talk about overprotective moms.
And she'll never take the train again either.
That's
as
right.
Well. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. We have Cheryl Hines from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Curb last night, so funny.
Although she wasn't on it.
She was not on it.
Oddly enough.
Nor were any of the Seinfeld cast. You know, they teased us with that one episode, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait this week. They're going to start filming the Seinfeld. No. It's Larry dating abroad in a wheelchair.
Yeah, it's
which
odd.
Is funny. Ordinarily, you would love it. It was a regular episode, but I'm just chomping at the bit to get to the Seinfeld bits.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
and,
we'll
and,
ask
and have Cheryl in.
We'll
course,
ask her exactly what's going on with that, how long he's going to stretch it out.
What's up with that? That's what we're going to ask her, like Seinfeld.
We're going to tell you about the saddest zookeeper in the world.
Oh, this guy.
If you saw him.
Not a good zoo, is what I'm saying.
We're going to try and talk to Doto, the international man of mystery.
Good luck.
That's 50-50 at best.
Do you have your secret decoder ring?
Don't know. Manny Ramirez will tell us about the playoffs. Probably having
just
a pretty
Manny
rough time.
Just Manny being Manny.
Yeah. Relationship revenge on today's story. And Harvey Levin from TNZ.com.
Huh.
About all the celebrities over the weekend. So
that's
coming
a lot
up.
Of good stuff.
Yeah. We'll come back with a look at the... Oh, and I forgot this. Are we teasing...
Well, he won't be until a little bit later, so let's save it for later. But we're going to have a special guest host for the Showbiz Beats all week this week, actually. I'll have a special Hollywood correspondent working with me, and you'll meet him in about an hour. So stick around.
That's coming up. The Showbiz Beat is... You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, and Ralph Garman is back from vacation to take
Woo!
A look at the showbiz like it's supposed to be.
Woo!
Hey, Ralph.
Woo! What's up, guys?
Welcome back.
I don't know what you guys do to the showbiz when I'm on vacation.
Bad things.
But I never get more love than when I'm not here.
Yeah.
For some reason, I got a lot of love this week.
We try to do it, but we do it poorly.
I'm just glad I still have a job. Because I thought someone might step in and swipe it away from me. That and drummer of Melfun. I was afraid I was going to lose that gig, too. So I'm glad to know I'm still welcome back.
In both ways.
Speaking of drums, did you see the story over the weekend? Before we get to the showbiz news, real quick, I got a little concerned because a dude in San Antonio... shot his son over his drum playing.
Oh, no. Shot him with a gun?
Apparently, the kid was playing drums at 1 o'clock in the morning, and the father was so upset, he fired a shot through his bedroom door, which was locked, and he was playing drums behind it, and fragments from the bullet hit the man's son in the head.
Wow.
Yeah. Here's the thing. The son, this kid who's playing drums at 1 o'clock in the morning, is 50... The dad was 8 years old. Good news, ladies. He's single.
Oh, that is good 50
news. 50-year-old guy living at home with his dad playing drums at 1 o'clock in the morning in the bedroom.
Wow.
You know, you can't blame the guy for taking a shot at him, really, though.
I guess not.
He deserved it. You're 50 years old. Get out of the house.
Living
Get a
dad.
Job. All right, let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? It's Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Number one... by a large margin, was Where the Wild Things Are. $32.5 million made it number one at the box office this weekend.
I like that movie.
I loved it.
That was really good.
I don't use this word very often to describe a movie, but I thought it was beautiful.
Beautiful?
It's a beautiful film.
I was a little insulted. Yesterday I was watching football with Jimmy Kimmel, and he said, I'm going to see the movie. He said, that is a great movie. You probably won't like it. I was like, why? If it's a great movie, why wouldn't I like it?
Well, it's a little...
it's a little down, but I like down movies.
Yeah, but it was also a little deep. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of symbolism, a lot of sort
and
of...
you're suggesting that I don't have that layer of deepness?
I wouldn't say that, but I could see where Jimmy might, who doesn't know you nearly as well as I do, might assume that perhaps you would think it was a little dense, a little thick.
No, I was fine with it. I liked it.
I thought it was a great film. Not for kids, though, I don't think.
Not much at all.
I think it's much more for adults than it is for kids.
Yeah.
Because it really is about how tough it is to be a kid. And as an adult, you kind of look back on that and kind of can appreciate that much more so than I think kids can.
Yeah, I think so, too. That was
The screening I went to had a bunch of kids in it, and they seemed really sort of bored and disconnected from what was going on. Yeah, there was a lot of running around and throwing of milk duds and things, not too much watching.
Excellent.
So to speak, so...
it's a good environment to watch a movie.
It really is. It made it very enjoyable for me. Law Abiding Citizen was number two at the box office. $21.2 million made it number two. Paranormal Activity in wide release made $20 million.
Oh, my
wow.
God.
It was 15 last weekend and 20 yep. this weekend? Wow.
Yeah. People drinking the Kool-Aid on Paranormal Activity.
That's the one they made for $50?
Yeah.
Is this going to break...
shot in 3 hours and it was made for $50.
Is this going to break the records for most net money made? Because I'm sure there's movies that are going to make more money overall, but... net, this has to be...
I don't think it'll ever break Deep Throat, which still has that record of the most inexpensive film to make. In terms of pure profit made at the box office, Deep Throat, the first really smash hit X-rated movie, probably will still hold the record. The Blair Witch Project also made a couple hundred million dollars. So have to wait and see. Couples Retreat was fourth. Then Stepfather was fifth. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs came in at number six. Zombieland was seventh. Toy Story and Toy Story 2, and its 3D re-release, was 8th. Surrogates was 9, and The Invention of Lying, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Madonna tells Rolling Stone magazine that being 51 is no age for a rock star.
Madonna's 51?
Yeah. She says that the aches and pains that come with touring at her age have really taken a toll on her body. She says, after a show now, she has to sit in an ice bath for 10 minutes after every concert.
God.
Go to acupuncture therapy and have a massage after every show just to make the pain go away until the next show.
She should get some muscle.
She should do
instead
that.
Instead of just the gristle that she has on her bones.
Or here's an idea. Stop doing it. You know who sits in an ice bath afterwards? Football players.
Yeah. Old football players.
Yeah, well, anybody, you get banged up pretty bad. But if you're in bad shape from singing and dancing, maybe you need a new line of work. It's just singing and dancing.
She's done it long enough. I think she could probably give it up.
She's got all the money in the world.
Yeah.
New York Post has announced the cast of the next Celebrity Apprentice.
Yes.
Kicks off in March, of course, Donald Trump. We'll be searching for his next celebrity apprentice. Joan Rivers was the winner of the last season.
Please.
This season, wow, what a lineup of celebrities.
You're putting that in air quotes?
That's right. I know it doesn't work so well on radio, but air quotes, celebrities. Here's your lineup. Sharon Osbourne. All right, so far so good.
All right.
She's a celebrity.
Sure. She'll win.
Former Met and Yankee Daryl Strawberry.
Yeah!
Okay. He won't win.
Ex-Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich.
Oh, are you kidding me?
What is it with that family? When will they go away? Okay, we're dropping rapidly down the alphabet of celebrities. We're already at C.
When does the father of the balloon boy get in there?
He didn't make the cut this time. Maybe next season. Sinbad.
Wow!
Actor and comedian Sinbad.
He's still alive.
Is in the lineup. Wrestlers Goldberg and Maria Kanellis. I don't know if you've seen Maria Kanellis, by the way.
I have not.
Whew, she hot.
Yeah, all right.
Goldberg?
Not so.
Not so much. Mm-hmm. Cindy Lauper?
Really?
Oh.
She's still alive?
Bret Michaels from Poison?
He's still alive?
Holly Robinson Pete from 21 Jump Street and Hanging with Mr. Cooper? Carol Leifer, stand-up comedian?
This is not a good show.
She was Jerry Seinfeld's girlfriend for a while, and she was the woman...
Oh, that
woman...
super hot one with the...
No. Ew. No. You're thinking of Shoshona?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the Carol Leifer was a comedian that Elaine Bettis, that character from Seinfeld, was based on.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. She's a funny lady. Not that good looking.
Yeah.
Australian celebrity chef Curtis Stone.
No.
And Summer Sanders.
Oh.
Former Olympic gold medal swimmer Summer Sanders.
She hot?
She used to host a lot of sports shows, too.
And like kids shows and stuff, too. Yeah. She's attractive. But she's hardly a celebrity.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
Not very.
Yeah, not really.
Not very impressive at all.
You guys were mentioning the balloon boy.
Yeah.
And his spectacular dad. Apparently, he is now facing criminal charges.
What a surprise. They found out it was a hoax.
Yeah. He was trying to maneuver himself and his family for a reality TV show. And the whole thing was a publicity stunt.
How'd that work out?
Well, it did get some publicity. However, County Sheriff Jim Aldrin said that the officials are now looking into not only charges for providing false information to authorities, which they did, of course, when they called and claimed that their son was trapped in their giant flying saucer.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently Child Services is also going to be called in, Protective Services.
Good.
For contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Which could be a felony charge.
Oh, no kidding. That all seems bad. There's nothing good about
that. There you go. And Kourtney Kardashian was robbed.
Glendale.
According to TMZ.com, we can ask Harvey about this when we talk to him in a little bit. She found out that someone broke into her home in Calabasas last Saturday night.
For what, food?
This is Kourtney Kardashian. This is the pregnant one. This is not Khloe. This is not the Yeti. Apparently, the local sheriff's department was called, and they found out the thief took off with more than $100,000 in jewelry.
Who's got that? That's awesome.
Apparently, many of them were family heirlooms left to her by her late father, Robert Kardashian, which is sad.
Yeah.
Because it was gifts from her late dad. And apparently, they also took the Bruno Mali shoes that OJ wore.
Right?
Yeah, with the blood all over
them.
They were just, family heirlooms from Bob Kardashian.
That's nice.
Yeah. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall you? Shall we? John Lithgow.
Yeah.
Is 64 years old today. I don't know if you guys are watching Dexter or not this season.
He's so great.
He is the Trinity Killer on that show this season, and he is scary as F.
Yep.
Boxing champ. Former champion, heavyweight champ, the real deal, Evander Holyfield, is 47 years old today. Speaking of boxing, did you catch any of the new the super middleweight tournament they're doing over at Showtime?
I saw.
This Saturday night
was the
kickoff.
I didn't see it. How do they just like a round-robin tournament or something?
It is a tournament, yeah. They start with six fighters, and they had two fights on Saturday night. They're going to have two more next weekend, I believe, and then the following. And then they're
the
gonna,
same guys?
No. And then they're going to, whittle it down. You get points for whether you get a win. You get more points for a knockout. 3 points, I think, for a knockout. 2 for a win.
So it's a three-series thing?
Yeah. 3 tiers. And Jermaine Taylor was boxing on Saturday night. And he got knocked out so hard.
Really?
I'm pretty sure his family was also knocked out. That's how hard he was hit.
How many points do you get for that?
You get for killing the family?
Yes. should be an automatic win.
Yeah, he had to go to the hospital.
Wow.
He got crushed.
That's rough.
So, anyway, Evander Holyfield, 47 years old today. Jon Favreau, actor, director, 43 years old today. Our buddy Trey Parker from South Park is 40 years old today. And comedian Chris Kattan. All right. Chris Kattan.
That's not good.
He is 39 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Let's talk football from yesterday. I don't know if you saw the New England Patriots, but they destroyed.
In the snow, usually like to run the football. Not if you're Tom Brady and the Patriots. Brady threw for 380 yards while tying a career high with 6 touchdown passes, including an NFL record 5 1/4. On the other side, the Titans passed for -7 yards. 59-0 New England, the largest shutout in the NFL in nearly 33 years.
And I don't know if you noticed, but the head coach of the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, is really the most unhappy man in the world and is never, ever, ever satisfied. And we have him on the phone this morning to find out how it went yesterday. Hi, Bill.
Hey.
How are you?
Good.
You won a pretty convincing fashion yesterday, 59-0.
You say so.
Well, I mean, it was the biggest shutout in, what did that guy say, 30 years?
Mm-hmm.
How does that not make you happy?
Well, I think we could have done better. We missed a lot of opportunities, things we could have capitalized on and we didn't. And we're gonna have to play better.
Tom Brady threw 6 touchdown passes in basically a half, 5 mm-hmm. of them in 1 quarter.
Mm-hmm.
What opportunities did you miss in the second quarter?
Well, it was 45-0 at the half.
Right.
Well, then should have been 90-0 by the end of the game.
I see. Okay.
Simple math. And if Brady can't see that, we might just sit him out this week.
Wow, really? You're going to sit him out after that week?
Hey, hey! Throw again!
Was that a whip?
Yeah.
Why are you using a whip?
Because they have to learn.
The dude set a record yesterday.
They have to learn how to play the game.
Wow.
I was pretty embarrassed by our performance yesterday.
I think I would have been embarrassed as a head coach if I brought out Tom Brady and started him the second half when it was 45-0.
Hey, you never know what could happen. You know, they could have come back. Those Titans, you know, they're a great football team.
They could have come back 45 points?
Sure. Hmm. You never know. Hmm. And you have to make sure that kind of stuff can't happen.
Yeah.
Come on! Break it!
Break it?
Yeah.
What does that mean, break it?
It's a break when he's going to his route.
Oh, I see. All right.
Yeah.
Well, no one...
Busy having a little practice here.
You're having practice first thing this morning?
Yeah. After that performance, these guys have to learn how to play the game.
They won 59-0!
Faster! Harder!
And, you know, we got to go to Wembley.
Right, you're going to London next.
You got to play a game in a freaking other country.
This coming week, right?
So these guys have to be ready because we're taking on the juggernaut that is Tampa Bay.
Please.
the brutal Buccaneers. And I won't be happy until it's about 150-0.
Really? So anything
in the first quarter?
In the first quarter.
Yeah.
Wow. You'd think that out of all the weeks, maybe this week you could just sit back and go, yeah, kicked ass.
Well, that's why you're not a champion. Because that's not what champions do.
I see.
Champions, they work hard. They press themselves.
Right.
And champions wear hoodies.
They do wear hoodies, yeah.
Without the sleeves.
Without the sleeves.
Yeah, that's a good look.
Have you ever not had a hoodie without the sleeves?
I don't own sleeves on anything.
Yeah.
I got married in a suit with no sleeves.
Because you're such a stud? You're such a weightlifter?
Because I'm, yeah, that's it. Stud. Weightlifter. Yeah.
You're never happy, Coach. It seems odd.
Kidding me? I'm positively giddy.
Well, it doesn't sound like it.
Ha, 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 ha.
Okay.
I'm so happy.
All right. Well, congratulations, I guess. You got a short week because you're heading to London, but
yeah. Good
luck with that practice.
I just hate my life.
I know you do. It's odd. Most of us would kill for it.
This whole thing blows.
Okay. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, and from TMZ.com, we have Harvey Levin this morning. Hi, Harvey.
Good morning, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
How you been?
Is Lisa May there?
She's not here.
She's not, Harvey.
Oh.
Not today.
Yeah. Just me, just Ralph and Kevin.
Hi, Ralph and Kevin.
Hi, yeah. Buddy boy.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you?
Hey, how about that balloon dad, huh?
How about that balloon dad guy?
Unbelievable.
For people who haven't followed the story as closely as you've had to, catch them up.
Well, first of all, I don't know that a lot of people didn't follow this story. It hijacked television
sure
and the internet. I mean, you know, here's the thing. It's really funny. The judge from the People's Court called me up. Pissed off.
You don't want the judge from the People's Court angry at you.
Did you get preempted?
No. She was so pissed off. She said, you know what? She said, I watched this and I cried and we were in the middle of something that was really important and I stopped it and I can never get that time back.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of people are really justifiably angry at this guy.
Because we all thought it was baby Jessica down the well again, you know?
Absolutely.
It was some kid stuck in a Mylar balloon and he was going to die.
But as soon as you found out that he was on wife swap, did you have any doubt?
No, not at all. But as of Friday, when we left the air, there wasn't any, they didn't have any of the email stuff. They were considering the fact that it was a hoax.
Well, look, on Friday, we had done a story. We had done some checking. This guy had shopped reality shows all over town. He had gone to TLC a couple of months back. Right. They rejected him. He went to the same production company that did Wife Swap. They rejected him. We found another company that he went to for a reality show. They rejected him. I'm told he went to all the networks. So this guy was obsessed with getting on TV.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not hard to connect the dots at that point.
So when the little kid says, Dad said we were doing it for the show, that's exactly what he was talking about.
I mean, was that unbelievable?
Yeah.
That poor kid.
Well, it really is child endangerment. And the kid was so, like, overwrought, you know, that he threw. I got to tell you, I don't know how you guys felt. Did you see him throw up?
I did.
Here's the thing. I mean, I really like Meredith Vieira, but how do you not acknowledge that somebody's hurling on the set?
Yeah,
I don't know.
She tried to power through the interview.
The kid was throwing up. The dad didn't mention it either, by the way. They just both looked at him for a second, and then they just went on with the questions.
Was obviously so tore up about having to lie on behalf of his dad that he actually got physically sick over it.
It was amazing. And they made absolutely no mention of it. I know. It's on a level. It's really funny.
Not only that, but I also found it very abusive that the TV announcers were asking the little kid if he'd heard them, you know, calling his name and stuff, and he said yeah, and then all of a sudden the dad turned on him and was like, why didn't you say anything? That was rough.
But you know that this dad is grooming these kids like beauty pageant kids almost, you know?
Yeah.
And he's in trouble.
Yeah, what are the criminal charges this guy's facing now?
Well, I mean, number one is child endangerment. I mean, they really put these kids, psychologically at least, in a terrible position.
I agree. Right.
But making a false police report, and then all of the money. I mean, the fact that they had to close the airspace, that what it cost to do the search. I mean, it's outrageous.
They shut down Denver International Airport, which is one of the biggest airports in the world.
Well, and I mean, what's your first clue when the wife calls up and says, I think my boy's been taken in a flying saucer?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, she did say that, didn't she? But, and the 911 call was after the call to the police station, if I'm not mistaken. She called
to the news station, yes. Right? Did she call the news station first?
Yeah. She called the news station first and then called 911.
Yeah. Now, here's what I want to know, and this is what we're working on. I want to know. It's funny, the sheriff said there is an entertainment show, or a show that blurs the line between news and entertainment,
right,
that offered them money to do this, and it's unclear, to go on, and it's unclear whether they offered them the money before or after the hoax, but that's what I want to find out.
When did you offer them the money, Harvey? That's what we want to know.
We didn't. We will not pay for interviews, I'm telling you.
Uh-huh.
Who would have?
Well, a lot of people pay
for
interviews.
My guess is Mario Lopez. He's on a baby hunt now. He's off the puppy hunt. Now he's on a kid hunt.
Well, you know, it's like there's one show in particular that paid a ton, clearly, for John Gosselin. So
right, sure.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. We're on the hunt.
Now, if that's proven, what could be done to the TV show? Anything?
Oh, you mean if they were... I don't know. I mean, it would be shocking to me if they were in on it. I can't imagine.
But isn't that what they're looking into?
It's unclear. I mean, I think they, you know, here's what I was thinking. Initially, when this happened, before the criminal charges were filed, I just assumed somebody was going to give them a reality show because they're crazy and that's exactly what they look for in reality shows.
Right.
Now that there's a criminal patina on it, I don't know that they're going to do it.
Yeah.
Speaking of John Gosselin, looks like TLC Network is filing a lawsuit against him, right?
They filed it.
Yeah.
They filed it. I mean, he is greedy. I mean, aside from the fact that every time he breathes, he wants money for it.
Yeah.
He was getting a full salary from TLC, even though they basically knocked him off the show. They said, look, we'll still pay you a full salary, but there's a provision in the contract that says if you do anything else, we have to approve it. And they're saying that's the standard thing that every network does.
Right.
That, you know, you can't just go on a million different shows if they're paying you. So TLC said, look, we'll pay you the full salary, but you have to get approval. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that.
What?
I want to do any show I want to do, even though you're giving me a full salary. And if you don't give me any approval to do anything I want to do, I'm gonna say that it's harmful to the kids to be on K+8.
Oh, there we go.
And I'll stop production.
That's a pretty tough argument to make after he's been a part of it for that long.
Well, but they said, and you got 1 hour. This is according to the lawsuit. You got 1 hour
wow.
to change your mind, and if you don't, I'm withdrawing my consent. So, gee, what a shock, huh?
Wow. What a douchebag.
No.
It's funny because before she was the angry one and he was like the victim. He was kind of just, he just took it. But now he's as bad as she is.
Now you hate them both.
Now you hate them both.
Right.
Let's talk about Lamar Odom and Khloe Kardashian in this prenup.
Okay, so we found out they have agreed to the prenup. They haven't written it yet, but they've agreed orally to the terms. And basically, here's the deal. Lamar is going to keep his salary. So the $33 million over 4 years, he's going to keep it's his separate property. And obviously, what he brings coming into the marriage is his.
Right.
What is in it for her financially is that every year she's going to get a set amount that she basically, okay, here, Chloe, you know, in I'm not sure what month, but I would assume December. And, you know, here, Chloe, and she gets a set amount. It doesn't go up or down during the length of the marriage.
So it's like an allowance?
It's
like an allowance.
I guess it's like a yearly allowance, yeah. Or it's like, okay, here's what I'm giving you instead of community property.
Right.
So you get to keep putting this in the... And plus, Lamar's going to fund the joint account so that, you know, the jewelry and the shopping and the clothes and the food and everything else, Lamar will fund the entire joint account.
Wow.
And Lamar, the thing that he got, that she got, that she didn't have going into the negotiation is he's going to buy the house on his own. So he'll pay for the house, and that's going to be over $5 million.
Now, I understand that Chloe's going to be paid in oats and hay. Is that true, Harvey? No, that's what I heard. I'm just checking.
That?
That's what I heard.
Where'd you hear that? Where'd you hear that, Ralph?
Some guy outside the front here, just waiting for a bus.
Right.
Told
oh, that
me.
Guy.
Yeah, that guy.
How do couples not break up over this kind of negotiation?
I mean, you know, it's interesting because I did some checking, and the way it works is if they give you the amount only if the marriage ends, there are some lawyers who think it actually promotes divorce. So in other words, if Chloe doesn't get any of that money unless she ends the marriage, it gives her an incentive to say goodbye.
Right.
This way, it actually gives her an incentive to stay married. So the policy of promoting marriage is more consistent with every year you get something. I am told they really want to make this work.
Huh.
I mean, I'm a little surprised, but they really do want to make this thing work.
I guess if her lifestyle is better if she stays married, that is sort of conducive, right?
Now, we put a poll up on the website. I'm just going to the web.
Mm-hmm. TMZ.com?
On TMZ.com, thank you. Mm-hmm. On whether the marriage is going to last more or less than a year. And so far, the vote is 82% less.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't seem likely. I mean, he's an NBA star. He's going to be on the road a lot. She eats a lot. You know what I mean?
However, like, Chloe has orally agreed with Lamar, and I think that might keep him around, all that oral agreement.
Depends on how often that happens.
That's right. How agreeable is she orally? That's what I'd like to know.
I knew you guys would do that. I just knew you.
Harvey, you're the best. TMZ.com is where we go for all entertainment news. And the TV show, of course, check your local listings. And we'll talk to you next Monday, Harvey.
Okay, guys, we'll see you.
Thanks, Harvey.
Time for the Armenian comedian. Now,
I miss Sam.
This dude, the Armenian comedian, of course, is a comedian.
Yes.
Top notch.
Well, he's much more than just that.
He's Mr. Clown.
He is a talented children's entertainer as Mr. Clown.
He's as
the Red Power Ranger.
He used to be the lead singer of Metal Man.
Oh,
remember that?
Sure.
He's a hairstylist.
Right.
He got pulled over one time for smoking weed in the carpool lane by himself.
Sure.
That happened.
Screams at kids about Turkey.
That's correct.
Yeah,
about the Holocaust, yeah. And he's got a new band project out. Now, Sam.
Hello.
Hey, welcome to the show.
How are you?
When did this band project come together? Because I was unaware of it, and I thought I knew what was going on with you.
Yeah, I'm trying to make a breakfast show with you guys.
You're trying to make a breakfast show with us? So you think we'll have a breakfast with you if you put out music?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, you've been involved with a couple bands in the past couple of years, right, Sam? You had Metal Man, right? That was one of your bands.
Yeah.
And what's
do you know what? All my bands are good, mm-hmm. but when you're not going to treat me as I wanted, they quit and I let them go because I want to do something that it is really professional, record contract I'm looking for. And this, I'm very talented and mm-hmm. I'm doing all my best and I'm still struggling for you guys to believe in me. You believe in me, but you're not really making me star.
So what?
We haven't made you a star yet.
We do have that power. Sam, are you telling us that the other members of your bands have been not as dedicated as you, so you let them go?
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, there's a lot of infighting happens in bands, and that's why bands break up, you know?
Especially around
I let
talented.
Them go because we're not going anywhere, you know?
Right, sure.
You know, struggling, and then I'm putting out all my effort to you guys to present all my talent.
Right.
And you're just going around it. You called me last time, you say, I'm going to send you to Bar Tuha. Where is it? No, not yet.
To what?
You tell me that you're going to be doing this, and you're just going
around.
Well,
Sam, you're complaining about the fact we're not talking about your talents, but here we are showcasing your new music project right now.
Good. Then let's do it.
Well, that's what we're doing.
Take it easy. All right. Here, what's the name of the band?
Samsational. Samsational.
We heard you.
We heard you.
All right, Samsational.
Take it easy. Now, who's in the band?
You know, we're just giving you nothing but exposure, and you're just attacking us.
You always been doing that the same to me all these years.
But what are we doing right now? We're asking you who the members of your band are.
We're going to play clips from your new band on our station.
Okay, it's only two of us.
Only two of you.
Okay.
Yes.
Who's the other guy?
The drummer.
Does he have a name?
Richard, my drummer.
Richard my drummer.
Huh?
Okay. All right. And you play all the other instruments?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Then that accounts for the sound of Samsational. Here is the lead single, I'm guessing, from Samsational. I like the production value. I like the fact that you had a little bit of distortion going. That was good.
Well, that's not the real band. That is just the introduction.
That's the introduction.
The other one, the one that I have, it's Route 118.
Yes, I got Jazzy Girl,
I'm
too.
I'm driving my car, you know.
Can I play Jazzy Girl?
See, I was wondering if that was real bad, because I wondered how you got Tower of Power's horns to play for you. That was impressive.
That was like a pre-programmed thing on a keyboard,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's not good.
A little Eye of the Tiger Survivor feel to it. I like that.
Here's Jazzy Girl.
Jazzy Girl.
What do we need to know about this before we play it, Sam?
About this Jazzy Girl is to turn on, you know, any woman that listens to the music.
And okay. Any woman that listens to this will be turned on.
Here we go. All right. Armenian comedian.
Hey, Jazzy Girl, why don't you come to me and make me feel good?
Does that sound like the bass and the keyboards and everything are together on the same song?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because I want to dance with you. I want to hold tight to me. Hey, can you please come, Jazzy Saucy Podcast?
Yeah.
Sam, is that you playing keyboards?
Yeah.
Are you wearing boxing gloves?
You have Tourette's?
No, this is just a little bit attraction, but when it goes on the music in the middle, it's more.
I'm sure it's much higher quality.
Right.
Sam, typically we call it a demo, not an introduction. That's like a rough copy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, tell us about potential there. I can hear that.
Tell us about Road 118.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
That's when I want to do video, like Route 66.
Yes.
Right. It's going to be very famous.
Road 118.
Lightning and Psycho Mike, we are going to go to the route 118 one day.
Did you know
we're
that?
Going to do MTV style.
Oh, that's going to be great.
Nice. I just found out about that.
Here's Road 118.
And come back on Route 118, I said don't drive on the fast lane, because the immigrants will come and get you and hit you with no license and insurance.
Sam, have you ever bothered to actually write a lyric, or do you just sing what comes to your head?
No, I write them down, and then I just, every song has its own lyrics.
Sure. Yeah.
It's true. Every song does have its own lyrics.
And what about Born High? Do we need to know anything about that before we play it?
Oh, yeah. Born High, I mean, it's about, High, H-Y-E, means Armenian.
Yes.
You know, Armenian is Hayastan. Right. Armenistan is high.
Gotcha. And it also has a double meaning, also, because you smoke
also,
weed.
You know, the listeners, they think it's about pot smoking, you know?
Yeah, of course they think that, but it's not, because you wouldn't. Yeah, okay.
I said, I don't need no Viagra, I'm high. I don't need no steroids, I'm high.
You need Rogaine.
Oh yeah.
Sam.
High. Are you high? Are you high?
Sing it.
Are you high? I'm high.
Yeah.
Sam, does that sound good to you?
Of course.
Is there a raccoon walking on your keyboard
that you have no control over?
Hey, Raph, how are you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Sam?
How was vacation?
It was delicious. I'm so glad to be back.
Sam just realized you were here.
Yes, he did.
All right, Sam. Listen, let us know when the offers start pouring in.
Listen.
We did our part.
I really need a record contract and then...
All right, we'll get right on that, Sam.
Thank you.
Sam, all right. This is it. Sam, the new concert.
How about
this
a
is
joke
it.
Before I go?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Hey, please. Turn that damn music off. I need a joke. Okay,
all right,
Sam.
Here's a joke.
One day a barber was showing the last minute the haircut. He showed the mirror.
Oh, come on.
Yeah,
I
want
to hear the joke.
Sorry, it's too tempting.
And then the customer says, hey, you made my sideburn longer than the other.
Right.
And the barber looks at his face and he says, I think it's your ears.
His ears are uneven?
Yeah.
That's what he's insinuating there.
Yeah. That's a good joke, Sam.
Toke up, Sam.
Hey, I would like to come and visit you guys one day.
Yes.
Please call me.
Come
right
on down
away.
Saturday morning. We'll be here at
big
5.
Big Saturday show.
Saturday show?
Yes.
Okay. You pre-record that.
Nope. We come in on Saturday morning at 5 a.m.
Doing it live.
So join us here.
Okay.
And bring your band. I'd like you to play.
And bring raccoon and your boxing gloves.
Ralph, we have a special guest this week. You want to introduce him before I hit the intro?
Couldn't do it on my own. I needed to up the ante a little bit.
Okay.
So I'm having a special Hollywood correspondent do the Showbiz Beat with me all week long.
Is it that guy right there?
It's this guy right here.
Mm-hmm. The one with the crumbs on his chest.
He is actor, writer, producer, director, Kevin Smith.
It's now time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. Special correspondent Kevin Smith.
We have our own jingle.
We have our own jingle. How about that?
I feel like this is for real. Let's tell him why I'm really here.
Kevin's going to be here all week long, pretty much to pimp out his stuff.
I have to whore some things.
Whore
in the
some
area.
Things. Whore away.
I'm speaking on what Saturday at the
Saturday
Orpheum
at the
downtown.
Yeah.
I know not many of us here in Hollywood like to venture downtown.
No. Well,
it's
I go down
scary.
There for the Kings games all the time, though.
Yeah.
Staples Center.
Orpheum's a great theater, though.
Hey, man, did you hear after Gretzky went away from Phoenix that the Kings kind of made overtures, if
I
you will?
I knew that they were planning on it.
Yeah. If they do that, they bring him in, I'm getting a box, dude. I'm there. Then I could support Kings hockey and
go
happily.
Yeah, but you're a New Jersey fan. I'm not sure we want you. You know what I mean?
Wow. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
Way to treat the guest.
I know.
First slide in.
And now I feel like an employee. Now I'm not a guest.
You will.
What's going on in the world of showbiz besides my show Saturday night at the Orpheum? Tickets still available. Call Ticketron or something like that.
Ticketron.
I don't know.
You're just
I guess.
Guessing.
I have no. I don't know.
How do you order your stuff without some information?
I figure. I just assume, is it really?
Yeah, it's
we
the
don't
master
know.
Now.
We're guessing.
Is it no longer Tron?
I don't think so.
It's been Tron for 20 years.
Been, am
since
I stuck
Tron
in the
was
past?
In theaters, they have been Ticketron.
Wow, man. Yeah, I guess it's Ticketmaster.
Tron.
Wasn't it once Ticketron?
I think so.
Yes.
Maybe it's a back. East
but that
thing.
Was like the Carter administration.
People back east helped me out. It was Ticketron.
No,
let's hear from New
Philly.
York. New York, are you calling? Unfortunately, we're not live.
No, we're not.
No.
I believe it was Ticketron at one point, but it could be Ticketmaster. I don't know who has my tickets, but if you jump online, I just assume in the digital age, most people will be like, Google Kevin Smith.
Smith Orpheum. You can probably find your
like
tickets that
but I guess I should make it easier for people. I'm trying to sell tickets, and I'm making it more difficult.
That would be how I would go, but that's not just me.
This is the wrong approach.
You can do it however you want.
You could see right away it was a bad approach.
I'm like,
I'll go to K-Rock and do it. All right.
We'll regroup, and next hour we'll figure out
a better way to sell it.
Yeah.
Can I give him a free event, though, before we go to it? Because that's Saturday.
Do you have to sell everything right now?
Yeah, in this moment in time.
Okay.
What if I die in the next 20? They'll never know about these events.
They won't happen.
Friday is the Smodcast Art Show.
That's right.
At Gallery 1988.
Here in Los Angeles?
Here in Los Angeles on Melrose. It's free, and you can go and hang out.
Melrose and La Brea.
A bunch of art. Yeah, well done.
Yeah.
A bunch of artwork based on those podcasts that me and Scott Mosher do.
Great. Podcasts are very entertaining, too. If you haven't listened to them, you can go...
Now let's look at the world of
iTunes.
Show business.
Let's, shall we? It's Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office.
What happened this weekend? I saw the Wild Things picture. It did well, right?
Number one at the box
office,
Kevin.
How much? $32
million? $32.5 million.
Mm. Can I take a moment to give a handy, if you will, to my current employers?
Sure. Sure.
Warner Brothers is making some interesting movies right now. You know what I'm saying? You take Spike Jonze, you're like, take the Wild Things, go make a movie. That's courageous. The Watchmen, that's courageous. Dark Knight, courageous.
I was saying to Kevin earlier this morning, the other Kevin, not you, that Where the Wild Things Are may be one of the most beautiful films I've ever seen. Yeah, and I don't use that word to describe movies very often, but it is a stunning, visually a stunning film.
I'll tell you how good it is. My wife liked it.
Wow.
Oh, she loved it.
She doesn't like most things?
Or not really at all. Right. But she really doesn't like it. She doesn't go for many movies lately, and she doesn't go for mine at all. But
well,
when I see her go for another filmmakers like that, we're walking out. She can't stop talking about it. Oh, that's Spike Jonze. He's so small. Oh, that's Spike Jonze. Like, why'd you marry that Spike Jonze?
Pretty talented guy.
I wish I had.
The casting of the voices of the creatures, of the wild things.
Gandolfini was brilliant.
Brilliant.
Just a great choice.
Catherine O'Hara.
Who's the chick from 6 Feet Under?
Lauren Ambrose.
Oh, she was great.
Genius.
She was KW.
Who was the kid? Do we know the kid?
Records is his name.
His name is the character's name? Wow.
Yeah. Huh. It's meant to be.
Well, I mean, it's not very original casting, is it?
No, I guess not.
Max Records.
I'm going to make a movie about the founding fathers and cast Ben Affleck as Ben Franklin because
he's pretty strong. Speaking of
movies, Kid was good though, wasn't
he? Was great.
Good?
He was good.
And they made the outfit work in the real world. You know how sometimes in like comic book movies they can't make the outfit work?
His costume.
They made
paid
that
off.
Costume work, man. Yeah. I bought it.
That's not a lovable role because the kid's kind of a brat.
Kind of obnoxious.
He's kind of obnoxious. He's out of control.
Totally.
But the backstory they give you and what you see the kid go through, I thought it was really well done.
And did you feel that all the monsters represented all the emotional stages he was going through as
Absolutely.
He watched his parents' marriage collapse or something
like
that? A lot
of symbolism.
That's what my wife
there.
Said. I was just like, I just thought he was
You
being
didn't
a,
get that?
No. I didn't get that at all.
Each of the creatures was another aspect of him that he was learning to deal with.
Why do they have to make us think?
See, well,
Danny and Spike Jonze and Dave Eggers. I just wanted to go and watch like big puppets, like
HR puppet stuff.
I saw the trailer. I'm like, oh my god, it's back, and they're better looking.
Yeah,
but instead, it's all about emotional growth and leaving childhood behind, and all these.
Yeah, I didn't get
any
of that, but I still liked it.
It was good. It's totally
to be
fun
a kid.
Movie. Yeah.
How did they do that stuff? By the way, I was blown away by the.
They
effects.
Wore big suits.
Was it suits?
And then later on, they posted
the
faces. Yeah.
Good stuff.
But it's kind of, I like the approach of like low tech to go high tech, stepping backwards to go forwards. Giant puppets, who knew? But I mean, that's a leitmotif in
Sid
Spike
Marty
Jones'
Croft
work,
knew,
isn't it? I mean,
then.
Giant puppets was in the, it being John Malkovich.
Oh, that's
as well,
right.
The giant
yeah.
puppeteer.
That's true.
See, yes. That's why we bring in special correspondent mm-hmm. Kevin Smith.
Yeah, to make the news dry and boring. I heard before I got take. In here, you guys were like, ooh, Kardashians getting married. I come in, we start talking about the lofty. Well, you know, in the cinema, Spike Jones attempts these things.
Let's get through the rest of the top 10 at the box office.
Do you have
office.
Any more juicy news? We're losing the audience, dude. Nobody wants to hear about.
Law Abiding Citizen was number 2 on its debut.
Did you see it?
Gerard Butler and Jamie Foxx did not see it.
Revenge thrillers always do well, don't they?
Yes, they do.
People love
so
that.
Too.
People like to go to the movies to watch other people do what they don't have the nuts in real life to do.
Paranormal Activity was number 3 at the box office
have you
this
seen
weekend.
It?
I have seen it.
And?
I have. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid on that one.
Okay. Where is it in comparison to something like Blair Witch?
I thought Blair Witch was a lot fresher, a lot more interesting, had a unique angle. This is basically a community theater version of Poltergeist. That's kind of what I've been comparing it to.
You just sold the ticket. I'm in. I'm in. Wow, that sounds like that. Appealing to me.
All I remember is the line, look, I'll give you 2 days, but then we're calling the demonologist. All right. And they make
You've
that
never said that to your
I've
wife?
I've never said that. No.
I said that to my... I just said it to my old lady before I was leaving.
My wife raises off the bed
Don't
sometimes.
Make me call the demonologist. She's like, I'm sleeping with the demonologist, you fat jerk. You haven't figured it out? I'm like, oh, I hate the demonologist. I'm going to bring in the angelologist now.
Couples Retreat was 4th at the box office this weekend.
Did you see that?
Vince Vaughn, yeah. John Favreau.
You see everything.
I see a lot of movies.
How was it?
I thought it was fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, hey, Kevin.
I'm alone.
We're not going to get through the top 10.
If I keep asking about every
at
movie.
At this rate.
I'm sorry. I thought that was my job. Go ahead.
It could be,
it's
but
okay.
sparse.
We're just tight for time, so we're going to move along.
Whip through them.
The Stepfather.
How was that?
Yeah, I'm kidding.
Go.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs was 6th. Zombieland, number 7.
Great
you
title.
Saw Zombieland, didn't
I
you?
I still haven't.
You haven't seen Zombieland?
I've been in movie jail making my own movie, and then I've been overseas for the last 2 weeks.
Oh.
Get off my back, dude. We got to get through the top 10. I just got yelled at by the boss.
Toy Story and Toy Story 2 in their re-release was 8th at the box office. Surrogates was 9th, and then The Invention of Lying rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend.
I like your sound effect.
Thank you so much. The paparazzi.
Yeah, sure. I dig it. I
but
dig
only
it.
One.
It's a paints a mental picture.
It's a paparazzo.
Only one. With one camera.
Celebrity birthdays today. John Lithgow is 64 yeah. years old today.
The World According to Garp, one of the greatest movies ever made.
I don't know if you're watching his arc on Dexter. You watch Dexter?
I was a huge fan of Dexter season 1 and 2. I have not caught up with all of 3, and so I've not
he's
seen any
He's the new serial killer this season.
Is he?
And he's
is he Dexter's dad? No.
Nope.
he
That's
is.
What I thought when I saw him in the ad. I was like, oh, they're retconning his
He's the guy. Trinity Killer.
Is that what he is?
That's who he is.
Yeah. I buy it.
64 years
that
old.
That guy always looked like he could take a life. Yeah. Had that look in his eye, you know? Just like, if it didn't work out with 30 Rock or Third Rock, yeah, he was going to take a life. Hunt humans, if you will.
Ty Pennington, TV host of Extreme Makeover Home Edition, is 45 years old today. My wife thinks he's dreamy, that Ty Pennington.
Really? Yeah. You let your wife watch reality TV?
Oh, who could stop her?
Let.
You try to stop her. See how successful you
are.
It
never goes on TV in our house for some reason.
Jon Favreau celebrates his 43rd birthday today.
Fabs! Speaking of his couples retreat picture.
Yeah.
He's working on that Iron Man 2 picture. I asked, and then it was shut down.
Yeah, that's right.
South Park co-creator Trey Parker is 40 years old today.
Oh, he's talented, too.
And former Saturday Night Live cast member Chris Kattan celebrates his 39th birthday.
What happened to Chris Kattan? How come he's not like up there like Will Ferrell, man? Remember he did Mango?
Not
a funny character.
As funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, when he did the monkey and he was eating stuff. Remember that sketch he did with the chick from ER where she like spit in his mouth like a baby bird? Come on. That's bold stuff. Somebody give that dude a job.
Well, look, you're a filmmaker.
Somebody give that dude a job.
Somebody else.
Somebody more talented than myself.
Chris is 39 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
It's time to talk about relationship revenge. There have been many of these stories in the news. Where people break up and one of them gets very upset.
Yeah.
And decides that it's time to take it out on someone.
Usher, been there, done that.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Usher recently called the police to say that his soon-to-be ex-wife was sneaking onto his property and scratching his cars.
Why does it matter what an Usher did? Why is
no,
Usher
not
the
an
singer?
Usher, the
oh,
Usher.
The Usher.
The
yes.
Usher.
Oh, the only Usher that matters
right.
in the world.
Yes, that one.
Oh, my bad.
And then she wasn't there, and then he called again, and then she wasn't there, and the police are starting to not trust him because she's
the boy who cried key.
Yes, she's flighty.
Either that or she's just really quick.
Authorities say a Houston area woman who was burned up at a former common law husband fried their pet goldfish and ate some of them.
Oh, man. How is that a burn on him?
Yeah.
I don't
She's
know.
She's the one eating the fried goldfish.
And you could, like, totally make a case for breaking up with a girl that would do something like that.
That's right.
At that point, you are off the hook.
All you have to do is
people are
See?
Just like, yeah. They're like, what happened? Did she really eat your goldfish? You're like, yes, she fried them. Like, oh, you were so right to break up with
But her. It's also, aren't goldfish like the... A waste of a pet, kind of like you don't really get attached to them, I wouldn't think.
Yeah.
Wouldn't
nobody really
meant the waste of, like, aren't goldfish pooped out of other fish? Isn't it essentially like eating fish waste?
No,
I mean,
I'm
saying they're breathing, living things.
Aren't they the smelt of the pet world?
Yes. They are, sort of.
Yeah.
It's like
they're a snack.
I was,
Anyway, we're going to take your phone calls.
Yes.
If you've been involved in bad relationship revenge, whether you've been the victim of revenge from the person you broke up with, or whether you were the one actually,
especially if you were the avenger,
revenge. Yeah,
that's funny to me.
Yes,
Psycho Mike, you had that happen?
Yeah, I got when I was living in Jersey, I got in a really bad car accident, totaled my car, and was in the hospital for weeks. And the girl I was dating at the time, she said, "Look, you need to wake up. You need to stop partying, and you need to get control of your life." And I was like, "You're right, totally." So I made a promise to her that I wouldn't drink or use drugs anymore.
Right.
As soon as I got out of the hospital, started partying again.
Right.
So one night she says, "If you go out to the bars tonight, it's over, and it's going to be bad. Whatever, whatever. Go right to the bars, start partying." Well, I come out that night, and like I said, I had totaled my car. So I come out to the parking lot to see the rent-a-car that I had gotten, covered in key scratches, tires popped, written with lipstick on, you know.
It's over.
It's over. F you. You suck. And that was her way of getting back at me.
She
but
didn't
it was,
know it was a rental car?
No. I don't think it dawned on her.
I gotta tell you, dude, I'm sad that you let her take the heat all this time. That was me. I was really fearing for you back then.
Yeah.
I thought that was the only way you would wake up.
Smith was looking out for you.
I was. You were in Jersey. It was my duty.
Sure.
I apologize then, Mr. Smith.
Ralph, happened to you?
Yeah, I screwed a girl over once. It was a bad breakup.
That was almost very erotic.
It was,
for a moment, and then
for
suddenly
a second.
It gets good,
sad.
Actually. I broke up with her, and it was an ugly breakup. And there was another woman involved, and I was sitting at home in my studio apartment at the time in Hollywood, and I heard a rustling outside the front of my I have a ground floor apartment, and there were bushes out front, and the front door faced the street, and I heard a rustling and noise out front late at night, like 12:30. And so I opened the door, and there she stood with a little set of like a painter's kit with little jars of paint and a brush, and she was painting various curse words on the front of my apartment building. And I cannot use those words here on the radio.
Sure.
But she was quite unhappy with me.
Was she
at the
working
time.
From a multiple colored palette?
She was. She had, I mean,
that's
she had
actually
a little,
kind of creative.
She had a little crate with a handle on it that had several different colors of paint in it, and she was painting various curse
that's
words on
commitment.
The front of my
apartment. That wasn't somebody driving by going, I'm going to write some cuss words on this.
But
no, she somebody had, left the house going, like, I'm going to do all the F's in red. I'm going to do all the S's.
There was a premeditation in there.
Ask Ralph how that ended up.
Well, I asked her in so we could I could talk her down from this emotional state that she was in, and we ended up banging that night.
Did she then write words all over you?
No, she didn't.
Not good.
Did she go
last
out?
Long.
Did she go out and clean it off your house, or you just let her
no,
go?
No, I had to let her go. What was
going
to do?
Wow. I don't have stories
I had
like
to
that.
Repaint. I had to repaint myself.
Like, did you?
Yeah.
Finish up after that?
Yes.
I have stories where it's like, well, I broke up with a girl and then respected her privacy, and that was it.
And we stayed really good friends.
Yeah, and like every once in a while.
Boring.
She'd call me up and tell me about the dude she was currently sleeping with, and it'd be heartbreaking. I'd cry through it, but I wouldn't let her know.
Wow.
It was good for her.
Wow. You never showed up with a multicolor palette ready to
no,
go to
man,
town?
I remember there was I would do weird things when I was dating chicks. There was this chick I dated who was working at this pharmacy in Atlantic Highlands, and it was during 1989, right before Batman came out. So mm-hmm. It was the summer of Batman. Everybody's wearing bat shirts and whatnot, and cutting bat symbol into their hair and whatnot. I was wearing a long leather coat, wearing a bat symbol t-shirt, driving around this gray Topaz. Is that a Ford car?
Yeah,
think?
The Ford Topaz.
Topaz, and that was my quote-unquote Batmobile, and I would cruise the streets of Highlands / Atlantic Highlands, waiting for my girlfriend to get out of work. This is so embarrassing. I would leave a little note card on her windshield with a little bat symbol. I'd seen it in Arkham Asylum.
Oh,
Grant Morrison.
Man.
Found it.
You are dorkalicious.
Tell me about it, dude. I don't know. Thank God I escaped it. Left a little bat note card on her windshield, so she gets out of work. She gets out of work. It's like 9:30 at night. All the other people are leaving, the pharmacists and the people she works with. She gets to her car. She ticks the note up, flips it over, and it says, "Look up." And she looks up, and there I am standing on the roof.
Oh, man.
Of the pharmacy, dude.
Did with you
a foot
spread
up on
your
the
coat?
Side. Yes, and I spread my coat out. And then it was like for a second.
Wow.
It
did
was
she drive
kind
off?
Of, it was geeky pimp. No, she kind of dug it. But then it got awkward because I was like, can you help me get down? I can't. I didn't. It was easier to get up. Bring the car around.
When the fire department arrived with their hook and ladder truck.
Wow.
I know, dude. I was embarrassing.
That's awesome.
I don't have cool stories like, and all then right. I did this and that'll show her. I was like, I have stories about why chicks break up with people.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, that's different. We got a bunch of people at home. We'll take a quick break and come back. 1-800-520-1067. We have people selling cars in the middle of the night. We have pain.
Oh, nice.
We have beat up. We have all kinds of stuff. So we'll take your relationship revenge calls when we get back on the Kevin and Bean. We're talking about relationship revenge.
People don't take it well.
Some people don't take it well at all.
And they have to get back at you.
Yeah, and sometimes it's a little scary. Let's start with Justin, who's been on hold. Thank you for holding, Justin.
Hey, how's it going?
What did your ex do?
She sold my truck in the middle of the night.
Sold your truck?
It's hard to get a buyer in the middle of the night, I would think.
Yeah, I obviously she had it planned, but she had the extra keys to my truck. I had moved out of the house we had, so I was paying mortgage on the one house, renting an apartment.
Lost you.
I'm done. And she
disconnected his phone service, too.
She sold his phone.
Yeah, so she...
all right, I got it.
In the middle of the night, I got a text that said, your stuff is in a box on the driveway. And I thought she was cleaning out the garage in the middle of the night for some strange reason. So I go, oh, what'd she do now?
She was cleaning out the garage. Yeah. He thought it was something positive.
Yeah, so I was like, why is she? She did all kinds of crazy stuff to mess with me. So I go to get my truck to drive over to the house to see what she has thrown on the driveway. And there's a box on the apartment driveway where my truck used to sit.
Mm.
So,
wow. So she sold it. She sold it out from underneath you at your apartment?
Yeah. She had the extra keys and both our names were on the title.
She's good.
And the next morning I went to her work with police officers to kind of talk it out, to figure out where my truck was at. They walked in, they said, you can stay outside. We'll go find out where your truck is at. They came back. They were like, that is the meanest woman we have ever met in our lives. And you're screwed.
She wins.
Sold it. It's gone. You're out of luck.
All right.
Wow.
Well, you lose. Thank you for the call.
Is that against the law?
Not if she's co-owner on the title.
She's on the title.
Her name's on the title.
Wow.
Yeah, that's good times right there.
Bitch.
Let's go to Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys. I had a...
go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hi. I had an ex-girlfriend that I woke up one morning. I had like 45 missed calls, and she actually had called in several times, tried to figure out my password to my voicemail, was successful, and then changed my voicemail message.
Uh-oh.
She made it say like, I don't even know why you bother calling this guy. He's not worth your time, blah, blah, blah.
Nice.
So my mom calls me later in the afternoon, and she says something like, what happened to your voicemail? So it wasn't until later when I called back. And then like a week later, I woke up and my entire house was spray painted.
Wow.
I live in like a pretty small community. So the cops all came out. They were all excited, thinking there was some gang activity. So they took pictures and tried to analyze it and this whole thing. They were basically like, oh, it must have just been somebody who was really angry.
Yeah, really? So, that was their conclusion?
Yeah, pretty much.
Dan, what did you do to her?
Actually, I broke up with her because I found out she was cheating on me.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. She's got some nerve then. She's got some nerve. Thank you for the call.
Next time, dude, just tough it out. Let her cheat and not get spray painted.
That's right.
That's my way.
Priorities.
Let's talk to one of the people who did it. Let's talk to Sonia. Is that right? Hi, Sonia.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. How are you guys?
Good, thank you.
Okay, I did great. I filed for divorce, served the papers for a divorce, and then was going to move out the next day. Mm-hmm. Well, he admitted that he had slept with one of the nastiest, disgusting people, and we hadn't had sex in 14 years. So I found this box of...
14 years, potty mouth.
No. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
For too long.
You hadn't had sex in 14 years.
14 years. Long story. Had to stay for the kids. But anyways, on to the love.
No. You can't bury that lead. What do you mean, long story? I'll take the short version of it.
Okay. I took shaving cream, and I wrote on it. It was blue shaving cream on the windshield and on the hood of the car for all the pigs you blanked and listed all their names. And I took the shaving cream and filled up the condoms so they were all erect and then stuck them all over the outside of the car.
Wow.
And covered every inch of this Ford F-450 work truck. It was brand new with erect, you know, shaving cream-filled condoms.
Sure.
And then I used toothpaste when I ran out and just wrote all kinds of lovely stuff, you know, Burn in Hell, Mother Blanker, all kinds of fun stuff.
You are a lovely flower.
I don't know you or your ex-husband, but it's you.
I'm
telling you now.
I was 16, and I tried to leave and got pregnant on the pill, and boy, it was just a fun time. So
you have a long history of bad decisions.
Yeah.
When I feel bad about my life, Sonia.
I sent you guys some pictures near Halloween. Maybe Bean will remember. I was the one trying to get into the spooktacular, whatever you guys called it, your little Halloween party. And I sent him the really naughty, naughty pictures. Remember? No?
We'll have to ask him. He's not here today.
Yeah, we'll have to look
for
those.
I don't know if that's someone you want to bring into the organization. Based on what all we've just heard, man, that is a fatal attraction waiting to happen.
I'm not sure we'd invite you to a singles party for you to find a new victim.
Plus, we just learned she doesn't put out 14 years.
14 years.
Wow. Heavens.
Finally, Michelle.
How do you do that?
I don't know.
That call rattled me.
You hate the person you're with.
Getting divorced, isn't that enough? Isn't that the first step? You're out.
I'm not
then.
Talking about that. I'm talking about how do you not have sex with someone for 14 years?
You would have nothing to tweet about, would you?
Nothing. I had nothing to write about.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, how are you guys?
What did your ex do?
Okay, well, keep in mind, I was with him for only 2 months, and he told me he loved me in the second week that we were together, okay?
Disclaimers. You know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Well, basically, I broke up with him because, you know, he told me he loved me, and I was like, okay, well, this is too fast. I'm sorry. So I broke up with him. I believe it's about a week later, my cables are cut from the brakes. And my transmission is basically messed up.
He cut the line to the brakes? That's serious.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And when the AAA came, they said that I basically had to get a new car. So I was like, okay. And then I get a text about 20 minutes after I discovered the car that says, you know what? It's over. And I'm like, I broke up with you. You know? And he goes, yeah, so there's my breaking up gift. And I'm like, thanks.
This just shows you my age. The most gripping part of the story that seems to have been glossed over.
Yes.
is that the man tried to kill her.
Yeah, I was
and that the chick's going like, and I had to get a new car.
Yeah.
This man tried to kill you. Did you report him to the authorities?
Yeah, you know what? I really didn't want to make a bad thing because I honestly was a little scared.
He cut the brakes to your car.
Yeah, well, I was like, if he cut the brakes to my car, what else is he going to do? So I was just like, you know what? It's not a big deal. I didn't want to make it a big deal. I mean, now thinking about it, I should have, like, done
perhaps
something, but it's gone. You know?
I can see your point, though. You don't want to stir up the hornet's nest.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, would you stop? Well, don't send that message to women across the state.
For 2 months, he's already cut the brakes.
Hey, what ladies, if he cuts the brakes, keep your mouth shut because it could get worse.
If she starts to make trouble, if she starts to make trouble for him, what happens next?
Well, obviously, the man is unhinged already. Tell on this dude because he's capable of the next step, I see.
Dude, I saw Cape Fear. You don't want to do that. He comes back. Next thing you're on
well,
a houseboat.
Well, you don't do it like Nick Nolte.
Bad stuff happens.
You turn him right into the cops. My friend, turn that man into the authorities. When did this happen?
I'm sorry? Oh, my first year in college.
How long ago? Because I stopped journalizing about you a couple years back.
About two years ago?
Two years ago. Yeah. Statute of limitations on attempted murder doesn't ever run out, does it?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Report that guy.
Yeah. Michelle sounds shaky, though, to me, too.
Yeah.
Let's talk baseball. Who watches baseball? Kevin, you watch baseball at all?
Is that the game they play with the puck and the stick?
That's not hockey.
Then no.
Yeah.
Either. I don't usually watch either.
Right.
But I've got a dog in this fight because the Phillies, and I'm, of course, from Philadelphia, they are in, once again, the National League Championship Series.
They are, as a matter of fact.
Playing against the Dodgers.
They're playing the Dodgers.
And last night, it was a cold night there in Philly, and they played a game.
Yes, and they scored more runs.
To the tune of 11.
11 more.
To zero runs.
Runs. Yeah.
Which I guess would be bad.
Hello?
Hi, everybody.
Hey.
I'm Manny Ramirez, outfielder for Los Angeles Dodgers, and I love L.A.
Hi, Manny. How are you?
I'm great.
You're great?
Yeah.
Last night, your team lost 11 to nothing, Manny.
Hey. You take it one day at a time, right?
Right.
Right.
All right.
So it seems like today would be kind of a bummer. Where are you?
I'm in Yosemite National Park.
Yosemite?
I thought the game was in Philadelphia.
I love birds.
Okay.
Right?
They're my favorite.
What are you doing in Yosemite? I thought you were in
Philadelphia. Bird washing, hiking, I'm eating granola. It's great.
Yeah, you seem pretty carefree for a guy whose team is down 2-1 in the series so far.
My mom got me a milkshake.
Okay, good.
All right, got a milkshake, that's good.
It was delicious.
Manny, is it true that the fans there were chanting, you took steroids?
Yeah.
That happened.
And they're right.
All right, that's true.
So you got that going for you.
Okay,
it's okay, you're my friend, Philadelphia.
Well, that's odd.
All right, go for the gold.
Go for the gold. What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Okay.
Want to go to Tuck E. Cheese, pretty lady?
What are you talking about?
Tuck E. Cheese.
I don't know Tuck E. Cheese.
It's a good place. They have games and balls you can jump in.
Don't the Dodgers play again tonight? Or is it tomorrow night?
No.
Not tonight. Is it tonight?
I guess. What?
I think it is.
We have to play another game?
Yes.
This
series.
Season?
Yes.
We play like 200 already.
Right, but this is the playoffs now. You have to beat the Phillies.
Is the game in Yosemite?
No,
it's in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Oh, man, he's in trouble.
Yeah.
I better get on my Vespa and start riding now.
You drove your Vespa all the way from Philadelphia?
I always take my Vespa.
Well, get on your Vespa and head back to Philadelphia.
Are you still wearing your baseball uniform?
Yeah, I'm wearing my jersey here in Yosemite National Park because I'm Manny Ramirez. Outfielder for Los Angeles Dodgers.
Right.
I love L.A.
Right. All right. Manny, you're 3-for-12 in the series so far. You might want to step it up just a bit.
It's okay because it's not the size of the dog in the fight.
Well, sometimes it is.
It is sometimes.
Sometimes
yeah.
The big dog kills the little dog.
Is your name Patricia?
What are you talking about? What's not Patricia?
I met a pretty lady named Patricia once.
Okay.
She was nice.
Never mind. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We have a special guest this week. Ralph is back from vacation, and he's got a guest commentary.
It's now time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat with special correspondent Kevin Smith.
I've upped the ante. I've got a co-host all week long on the Showbiz Beat.
I'm just here to keep the news honest. I'm tired of listening to you people butcher my ilk, my peer group. I'm here to speak. I am the Lorax. I speak for the wealthy.
Thank you, Lorax.
I don't know what that means.
Robert Pattinson's in the news.
This story is untrue.
I haven't even told it yet.
Go ahead.
17 Magazine did an interview with Rob Pattinson, and he said that if his...
How'd they score that?
I don't know. They said if his work... He said, rather, if his work starts getting lame, he's going to quit acting altogether.
Really?
See ya, Robert! Did you see Twilight? You defend the Twihards, don't you?
I don't defend them.
You do. You defend the Twihards.
I see how happy that boy makes little girls. I got a little girl, wow. And she completely, in a innocent, non-sexual way, just, he's so dreamy. And I'm like, I can't fault a dude for that. You know what I'm saying?
But he's a douchebag about
pretty
it.
Weak,
is he?
Though.
What do you mean? Explain.
He always complains.
He's lighting the loaf first, and he complains about his fame.
Fame?
Oh, so he's not butch enough for you guys?
That's right.
Not enough testosterone.
Here comes Rob Pattinson now. Oh, look at him. Look at him floating across the room.
You're also a butt pirate.
Oh.
That's true.
Roman Polanski's lawyer says he is suffering from an ailment. Apparently, he was pulled from a Swiss jail to seek medical attention. And his lawyer says he doesn't know where he is or when he'll return to prison.
What?
Seems like someone should keep track of something.
Is that
like
a prison
that.
Break?
Boy, they keep losing this guy.
What happened?
You can't lay hands on him. He's like a salmon. He just keeps slipping out of their hands year after year.
Apparently, he got sick in prison and was released to see a doctor.
Okay.
But his lawyer's claiming not to know where he is or when he'll be back.
He probably has that, I don't want to be in prison disease.
Yes, he's allergic to cells.
Yeah, of course.
That's what it is.
He's
allergic
got some cell problem there. Some cell structure.
So, no word on where Roman is or when he'll be returning to jail.
That's
guilty
odd.
Or innocent? Have you guys passed judgment?
Guilty. Of course he's guilty.
Isn't that weird? Did you see the people? Wow,
that's guilty.
That's a sustained.
It's pretty guilty.
Did you see the poll that everyone was signing? People going, yeah. Let him out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was Woody Allen.
You
don't want him on your side.
Yeah, but you know what?
It wasn't
just Woody Allen.
Yeah,
dude.
I know.
Sadly, there were a bunch of names on that list.
But if it's your petition, do you even bother to ask Woody to put his name on it? Don't be on my side.
I have no idea.
If I'm going to Woody,
I can't believe that many people signed it. Dude, Steven Spielberg signed it.
I know.
Come on.
People are blinded by his work and don't recognize.
Who's Steven Spielberg's? I am too. But
no,
even I saw the error.
Spielberg is blinded the other by guy? Polanski's.
Yeah, that is crazy, dude. Rape's rape. It's that simple. I like Rosemary's Baby too, but come on.
Although Whoopi Goldberg said it's not rape.
That blew my mind.
That is
when I officially knew that Whoopi Goldberg was a man. Because no woman on the planet would ever make a statement like, it's not rape.
It was the good rape.
Yeah.
I
had no idea there were levels or
sure.
conditions. I'd always been taught all rape, all bad.
Oh, Smith.
But who knew?
You don't know anything.
I'm not of Hollywood. I'm in Hollywood. I'm not of Hollywood yet. Right.
Do you have plans for Halloween yet?
Yeah.
You have, do you?
Sadly.
What are you doing?
Every year I get dragged trick-or-treating. We live up in the hills, so it's a trek, dude. It's like it's one exercise day of the year for me. We actually, and it's so strange because there's candy at the end of it. But
see, it's
such
a great motivator
hill,
for you.
Up in those hills, I'm always just like,
golf
can't
cart,
I just follow in the truck?
Golf cart.
She won't do it. No. That's the one day where the wife's like, you get on top, figuratively speaking. You get out there and trick-or-treat, and it's so weird, and there's other celebrities in the neighborhood, like people that you recognize. I mean, real celebrities, dude.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, my ilk. Like, people like, we're like, oh, it's Magneto. I've seen him in the hills. Or, oh, it's the chick from Desperate Housewives, who once gave me, like, a real hard attitude.
Really?
Yeah, Felicity Huffman, man. Him and her and him. Whoa. Him, her and Bill
William
Macy.
Yeah, her husband.
Live up in the hills.
Mm-hmm.
And every year up in my neighborhood, they do this trick-or-treat thing where people get together and put bags on doorsteps so you know which houses to go to. So you run into people. I see Ben Stiller every year. So one time a year I see him.
Right.
He lives up there, too. One year, me and my friend Malcolm waiting outside. They pick a house to have everybody meet at and whatnot.
Right.
Me and Malcolm are sitting outside with the dogs because we brought my dogs with us. And everybody's inside. And Felicity Huffman and Bill Macy come out. And Bill Macy's like, you know, I guess they're looking at us. And I'm like, Malcolm looks like me. Just a huge looking man. We both have dogs on leashes. Neither of us look like we belong in the neighborhood, let alone outside the party. And they were just, Bill was like, oh, hello. And she goes, what's your story?
Oh, man.
And I was like, excuse me? She's like, what's your story? You know, she had two kids with her, mm-hmm. admittedly, in strollers. So protective mom went right into that. And I was just like, oh, I was just waiting for my wife and kid. And Bill Macy jumps to our defense a little bit. He goes, they're just waiting for the wife and kid. Leave them alone. And I felt like the way he protected us, I was like, she did kind of attack, didn't she? And that was the year, you know, she was up for running for an Oscar.
She used to be a dude. That's probably why she's cranky.
Yeah,
she's
maybe that's
sort of hormonal.
She went into that fight or flight mode, but it was the fight mode. She was protecting her children. But from two dudes sitting on a curb across the street smoking, I don't understand. We posed no threat.
Were you wearing the Batman shirt and spreading
the cape? Standing on a neighbor's roof, and
look
I was
up.
Just like, look up.
Trick or treat. It's trick or treating Gotham. You must have friends.
Today's celebrity birthdays, John Lithgow. He is 64 years old today. He, of course, currently starring in Dexter on Showtime. You can see him on Sunday nights. He's
World According to Garp.
Yes.
Best role. He was so amazing in that movie.
You ever see Blowout with John Travolta? He's the bad guy in there with the killer watch.
Totally.
Yeah.
He's good in everything.
He really is. Jon Favreau is 43 years old today. Trey Parker, South Park co-creator, is 40 years old. And comedian Chris Kattan, who Kevin Smith's going to put in his next feature film.
That's great.
He's going to give him a
chance. Funny. Funny. Why you got to insult the guy? It's funny.
How did I insult
You're
him?
You're all over him. You're anti-Kattan. I say bring Kattan back.
He's got a few shticky things
the
that he did.
The late 90s, early aughts are coming back, my friend.
Look, even Will Ferrell doesn't use Kattan anymore. That's all I'm saying.
Wow, what a hateful town this is.
And they did that head-snapping movie together.
That was a town without
Night
pity or remorse.
Roxbury.
You guys are tough.
He's 39 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey! 106.7, K-Rock is KROQ. It is 10 minutes after 8 o'clock. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't know if you saw this story. I think we got it from the Huffington Post, but they're talking about a zoo in Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds bad. They can't afford to buy zebras. So
wait, in the Gaza Strip?
Yes.
One of the most wealthiest, lucrative strips on the planet?
Israel controls the movement of goods into and out of Gaza.
Sure, blame the Jews.
So they say,
right to the blaming of the Jews.
So they're allowing only humanitarian and basic supplies. So the zoo wants zebras, but they can't get them in. Huh. So what the zoo is doing is they're painting stripes on two donkeys. According to the AP.
Fair enough.
Right.
Fair enough. We call that a New Jersey zebra. That's what we would do back home. Wow, really? That's their approach?
They painted stripes on two donkeys. So we thought we would check in with the zookeeper. I believe
Who's
his name is...
responsible for this atrocity?
Mahmoud Barghout.
Shalom Tachalbechem.
Is this Mahmoud?
Yes, this is Mahmoud. Who is this I'm talking to?
It's Kevin and Bean Show. We're calling from the United States of America.
Tell him who I am. Tell him who I am.
And Kevin Smith is here as well.
Hey, what's up, Mahmoud?
Kevin Smith.
You like him?
I love Mallrats.
All right, good.
Yes. It made it to the strip. You know you've made it when your movie's played on the Gaza Strip.
Yes. We are having a hard time here at the Gazoo, as we like to call it.
The Gazoo.
The Gazoo.
I like it. All right. What's the problem? You don't have enough money, or you can't get the donkeys in? What's the problem?
We get donkeys. No problem.
No zebras.
Lots of donkeys. Yeah,
right.
It's the zebras we're having trouble getting.
Right.
And we cannot smuggle them in. It's very expensive.
Okay.
So we have to make do with what we have to make the best possible zoo for the people.
So you painted donkeys?
Okay, yes.
Okay, well...
painted a few donkeys.
But
so sue me.
Well, I'm just saying you're a zoo. It's not like...
Yes, we are a zoo. We have many wild creatures you can see. And
like
you
what?
Can hear in the background all the crazy animals.
I hear birds.
Yes. Listen, yes. Many kinds of exotic animals.
I believe I saw a follow-up story where they had stapled a garden hose to a St. Bernard and were calling it an elephant. Is that true, Mahmoud?
That is one of our biggest exhibits.
Is that right?
Yes. Actually, this is just a sound effect record. I'm going to turn that off. That's not... We don't have any...
You don't have any of those? No. Really?
We have a sheep.
You have a sheep, okay.
Not really. Good. It's a shaved cat that we stuck cotton balls to.
So it's not a sheep?
No, but
it's a cat.
It's a cat with cotton balls.
Okay.
It looks like a sheep.
Not a very good zoo.
Sort of.
Okay, so you got donkeys?
Yes.
Okay.
Oddly enough, for our donkey exhibit, we had to cut the humps off a camel and call him a donkey. We could have saved a lot of trouble if we just used the donkeys as donkeys.
Yeah, why wouldn't you have the camel be a camel as well?
I'm not saying this was well thought out.
Okay.
We have a porcupine.
A porcupine, okay.
Which is actually just a baby that we've glued knitting needles to.
An actual human baby?
A human baby, yes.
It seems bad.
It's okay. He doesn't mind.
How do you know?
I asked him.
All right.
We have a gorilla.
You have a gorilla.
It's
okay.
Very popular.
Okay, good.
It's my sister.
Your sister's the gorilla.
Oh, is she ever. That's one hairy bitch. She is not a good-looking woman.
What are you saying?
I'm trying to say not very attractive.
Right.
Do you have a scale of 1 to 10?
Yeah.
10 being Megan Fox.
Right.
1 being Whoopi Goldberg.
Right.
She's more Whoopi.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying.
That's not good.
No, it's not. Much like this bit.
One hundred 6.7.
Hey!
Nope. Doesn't need that. Right. I don't think so. It's a world famous K Rock at 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's time for the Afro Line 323-520 AFRO. By the way, Cheryl Hines from Curb Your Enthusiasm coming up just after the top of the hour.
Good.
But first, the Afro Line. People very excited about Rocktober.
Hey guys, it's Rocktober, not like Hip Hoptober or Raptober or Scratchtober. I think we need to dump Omar. That does not work for Rocktober.
Yeah, we had Omar on the ones and twos in here on Friday.
Oh, did you?
Yes. And I thought it worked well.
Was he playing with Melfon? Or
yes.
Was he just on his own?
No, he was playing.
He was scratching with Melfon.
Yep.
It was intense.
I see.
It was good.
Who was playing drums for you guys with me out of the...
King of Mexico took over the reins.
Yeah.
And was okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Considering.
I'm out of a gig.
People very excited about the band.
Melfon,
by the way, not Melfa. People can't even remember the name of our band.
But Miss Cleo plays the bongos. Oh, yeah.
Did Miss Cleo try her hand behind the kit as well?
She tried out.
Yeah.
We had a tryout.
Uh-huh.
And she and Dave tried out.
Right.
And then she wasn't as good. So then we had Dave do it.
I wish I had heard that.
She was very upset by that. She was not happy at all. We were talking about people who had died. Psycho Mike had a story where he died twice.
What?
And came back to life.
I had no idea.
Hey, Psycho. Next time you die, hey, Dad.
James Gandolfini calling in. Hey, next time, stay dead.
And that's the whole call, man.
That's the whole thing.
Just that.
That's all he wanted to say. Baseball playoffs are going on. Not a great series so far for Southern California.
Dodgers? Why you bad, Dodgers? Stupid Yankees.
Yeah. That covers both series.
Angels and Dodgers, taking in the pants.
We did the showbiz last week because Ralph was on vacation, and it didn't go terribly well.
Ralph, come back. Are you listening to this? It's horrible.
I'm sorry.
That was me. I forgot the main line number. Sorry, my bad. But
hey,
I really
Ralph,
couldn't
this
handle
is for you. I just want to say thanks for coming back. You know, glad to have you back and all. What's up with your team, dude? They lost the f***ing Raiders. To the Raiders. Oh, that's my team.
That's not
Raiders.
That's not love.
Raiders.
How did they pull it all together for that one game against your team?
Well, everyone played well. I think they were so motivated by taking on the juggernaut, the football juggernaut that is that team from Pennsylvania that I cannot say its name.
Yeah.
That they just rose to their best game ever. Brought the best in them.
That they did.
Yes.
In that Ford commercial, they say redesigned cockpit.
Oh, man. It's one of Smith's people, I think.
People love the music that we play here, especially the Firefly song.
No more Firefly song! Ah!
We had a listener come in last week and get a Psycho Mike tattoo. That happened.
Wow, I missed a lot of show last week.
Psycho Mike tattoo on his forearm.
A portrait of Psycho Mike
on
his forearm.
Yes.
I saw a picture of that online.
And he's not going to regret that. I don't think
so. No.
Yeah, I don't know why you guys are giving that guy such a hard time about getting the tattoo of Psycho Mike. For almost 10 years now, I've had my tattoo of a fat tad, and I really don't regret that one much.
Fat Tad. Callback from the early days of the Kevin and Bean Show.
I don't even remember a guy got a tattoo of him, but good work on that point. Yes, last week we had Sinead Grimes and we had Jessica Straub from 90210. And
probably Jessica Stroop, too. She was probably on.
She said her name is Straub.
Straub?
That's what she said.
That's an effed up way to pronounce that name.
Right.
She's wrong.
So we had Dewan call. to say hi because he loves especially.
Loves 90210.
Especially her. And he called back with a message.
Hey, Kevin Bean. I'd like to say something to Sinead Grimes and Jessica Stroop. Hey, Sinead and Jessica. Say, how's your weekend? How's everything going? Stuff. Good. All right.
Yeah. Is it wrong to imagine that they will become best friends after that phone call? In my heart of hearts, I just imagine Sinead Grimes calling that dude back and being like, hey, my weekend was good. How was yours? And they just start hanging
out. Hang.
In a perfect world.
Yeah.
That would happen.
Dude, you gotta if you're gonna go for it, don't bury the lead with hey. Like, come strong, come correct. Say something powerful is gonna catch their attention.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a helmet.
Kevin Smith is in the studio with us, hanging out, doing the showbiz all week long, as a matter of fact. I think.
Yeah. You can't get rid of me, man, until you start talking about sports. Then I'm going to go away.
Now, are you superstitious about sports?
Not really. No, I'm not one of those guys. I don't believe that my interest affects the team's play one iota. Mm-hmm. And I always try to catch myself when I'm like, hey, we won last night because we didn't do anything.
Yeah,
I sat there
that
eating,
bothers some
watching.
People, but it doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother me either.
I don't mind that, but guys like Dave, who Twittered last night, I don't care how bad the Dodgers get beat last night. I'm going to keep wearing my L.A. Dodgers hat until we win the series.
That's right.
Dodgers! I call that loyalty, man. Brian
right.
Loyalty.
But
he's a fan.
But what if you've met these kind of sports fans before? They really think like Mike's wearing the same shirt that he wore.
On Friday. And Thursday I wore it when they lost, and so I turned it inside out because I knew it was somewhat of a lucky shirt. They won again on Friday. I didn't wear it last night. They got their balls kicked in, so I'm putting it back on. I haven't washed it, haven't done anything.
See, because he
it's
makes
just
a
so
difference.
It's so weird, man, because in high school, like, you would kill or die to make sure you took a shower and put on fresh clothes every day.
Yeah, that's right. True.
And now as adults, you got dudes being like, I ain't wearing a different shirt. Yeah, I ain't showering. I'm going to wear this stinky hat for
look,
a year.
Kevin.
I'm not shaving my nuts.
Yeah, no way. Don't touch him.
I'm not doing this as a superstition thing. I'm doing this in support, man.
But what if...
Because I went to game one, they lost.
Okay.
I went to game two, they won. What's the difference?
It's an act of rebellion is what it
but,
is.
But if you put it in your tweet, Dave, that you're going to wear that till they win the series, it seems as if you think the hat has something to do with their victory in the series.
Good pretty point. Much what, yeah, I didn't think about that.
Because
but
whatever
pretty much
you put into
saying.
A tweet is binding by law.
That's right.
Too, as you know.
It's 140 characters of contract, my friend.
What social contract.
What I meant was I'm just going to keep supporting, you know,
right.
By rocking the hat.
But what if you rocked the hat last night and that's the reason why they lost 11-0?
I rocked the hat at game two. Worked out for me.
But how can you tell? Did you wear all this other same clothing?
Nope.
You wear the same shorts, same underwear, same socks, same shoes?
I don't believe in any of that.
Same shirt?
I believe in supporting my team.
May
which
I speak on behalf of the Dodger organization?
Yes, please.
I can't imagine that they would like him to remove the hat, even if they're losing. I believe they're all about the hat.
That's probably
that's possible.
True.
That club likes to see their hat, as most clubs do.
Or would they like him to buy a new hat?
There's basically that.
Here's the thing. If all the fans refuse to make changes... You're doomsing your team.
Maybe Joe Torre should have made a change in game one.
Them.
Did I say that right?
Joe Torre should have made a change in game one instead of keeping Kershaw in.
Totally. He doomsed it is what he did.
Wait a minute. You're going to blame the actual manager of the Dodgers for the success of the team? That's just irrational.
I'm not the only one. But, you know, it's over. It's in the past. It's all about game four.
Whatever with the manager. I don't know what was Mike wearing in the stands. That's how you know who's going to win, who's going to lose.
Yeah, by the way, he's wearing a red shirt when we're playing a red team.
He's serious about it, too, by the way. It's a red t-shirt.
Yeah, I did wear almost exactly Philly's colors, but I knew that this shirt was good luck.
Right.
I knew it, and I held on to it.
You
got to
do what you got to do.
You watch.
Why didn't you wear it last night, then?
Because I'm dumb. I was on the air last night, and I got to the station, and I said to myself, I'm an idiot. They're going to lose.
Oh.
I knew it. Not only did I not wear this shirt last night, I didn't have my hat on.
Wow.
Blame Mike, not me.
And look what happened. Look what happened. I threw it on as soon as I woke up, both the shirt and the hat, and you watch. You watch what happens tonight.
But Dave tweeted he's going to keep wearing his hat until they
like
win
the
series.
Watch what happens.
That was awesome.
And that's the World Series, so.
Wow.
Now, how far does this go?
He's doomsing his team. I'm standing by that.
They're done. They're doomed. How far does it go? Is it all behavior or just the outfit? Like, let's say you had sex that night with somebody.
That's right.
And the team wins. Do you then have to have sex with the same person? And if it's a dude, so be it. That's the commitment to the team.
Yeah. In fact.
And you can't wash your penis, right?
2 years in a row.
I'm just saying.
2 years in a row, I took the same crew to game two, and they won. They happen to win game two. So next year, if they do happen to get against the Phillies in the National League Championship Series,
you gotta remember that?
You gotta go with the game two crew. You had sex with a crew? We were talking about sex, Mike. You all of a sudden turned it into an outing of some sort.
I rented that, Mike and the crew. I think I saw it in the back.
Kevin, we used to have a guy.
Live crew, I believe it was.
We used to have a guy who worked here who would change his physical position. Like if he were sitting like on his left elbow and something good would happen, he would stay
had
there.
To stay there.
He would stay in that position.
You gotta love that.
Crazy,
the contract between audience and fan and team is just astounding. It's faith, really, isn't it?
I guess
it's doing your part.
It's a responsibility.
It's a scam. Like organized religion, because basically we all know that these people make untold amounts of money, vast sums. The organization makes vast sums, and basically they just want your money. You're only as good to them as much as you've got money to spend on their team, their organization. But that all being said, you will never hear a fan. They'll complain about the team like crazy, but separate them from their colors? No way. That's faith, man. It's just like people believe in God and whatnot. Same difference.
Doyers.
But God doesn't play for the Dodgers. The Stanley Cup. Or God doesn't play for the Dodgers.
But in sports, you can actually see your players on the field.
Totally. That's true. That's
religion, where you have to imagine your players on the field.
We have thousands of hours of Wayne Gretzky playing hockey, not 1 minute of Jesus playing hockey. That's right.
We have a special guest in studio to help Ralph with the showbiz today.
It's now time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat with special correspondent Kevin Smith.
I never get applause when I do the showbiz beat. That's
all correct. I know is it was pitched to me as you were my special correspondent.
Oh, really?
It's very strange to hear it laid out like that.
If you
What's happening in the world of entertainment?
If you want to see Kevin live, by the way, this weekend's your opportunity at the Orpheum Theater downtown in Los Angeles.
The rare L.A. appearance.
Kevin will be doing one of his nine-hour marathon Q&A sessions where he talks to the fans.
I went international this year. I just got back from, I did two in London.
London.
Sold out. One in Dublin. Sold out. One in Glasgow. Didn't sell out.
Scots hate you.
Scots, yeah. The Scots, apparently, I learned over there that they're very tight. That's their stereotype for the Scots, or they're very tight with a nickel.
Yes.
I'd never heard that before.
Oh, yeah, they're
never
cheap.
Heard that either. Very strange.
Where'd you
just
play
like
in
Angelinos.
London?
Also tight with a with
nickel.
Apparently,
yeah.
I gotta sell a few more tickets, for heaven's sakes.
You can go to Ticketmaster.com.
Me at the Orpheum. Right here in town.
For Kevin Smith at the Orpheum this
Ticketron?
Weekend. Not Ticketron, we found
that was
out.
Back in the day.
Which has been...
That was when I came back from my
20 years ago?
Trip through time. Also, the Smodcast Art Show happening at Gallery 1988 this weekend.
Right. Which is at Melrose
Me,
and La Brea.
Scott Mosier is going to be there. Lots of artwork. It's free. Hang out. See some stuff. It's kind of a little celebration for the book that's out right now, the Smodcast book.
Good times.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a winner. Yay. Moving on. I'm done whoring things.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, according to Daily Variety, Where the Wild Things Are. People went in droves. Children went away disappointed.
My kid dug. My kid went for
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah, my kid did go for it. She crying like crazy coming out at the end.
Well, it's
sad. I've never seen so many happy, sad people.
I was crying at the end.
Yeah.
Like
pretty
a
sad.
Bitch.
I wasn't. No, I was just like, you're both sissies. You embarrass me. Clerk's guy doesn't cry.
That's right.
She's like, stop calling yourself that, Dad. But I liked it.
$32.5 million made it number one this weekend.
They had some of mine.
I liked it, too.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Law Abiding Citizen was number two at the box office. Gerard Butler and Jamie Foxx.
This is Law-Abiding Citizen!
Jamie Foxx played a retarded guy playing a viola with one string.
I don't get that's the same one.
Oh, that's right.
That's a different movie, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Paranormal Activity was third at the box office. $20.2 million it made this weekend.
Spooky.
It made about $15 last weekend, so it's a
monster. What are we doing wrong?
It made it for $15,000. That's the line on that.
I know.
You can make eight movies for $15,000.
No, I couldn't even make the first movie for that. 27 was ours.
27?
27, 575. These people found a way to make it for less and make far more money. Way more talented than me yet again.
Well, they shot the whole thing with a security camera, so.
So did we. They just found it. They just saw, like, you know what would be more profitable than a store, a movie about a convenience store?
We
Anything.
Heard some spooky stuff.
Yeah, how about a ghost, dude? How about you make stuff up?
Couples Retreat was fourth. The Stepfather was fifth. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs was number six. Zombie
three horror movies right there you just named in a row.
That's right. Yeah.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs could have a hard, you know, a hard tinge to it.
Could
be frightening.
Depends on where you are, top or bottom. Zombieland was number seven. I'm just saying.
Right.
Of the plate, you mean.
Toy Story 2 was eighth. Surrogates with...
it's still out.
Bruce Willis, Jason Robots was ninth. And Invention of Lying was number 10 at the box office this weekend. Looking forward to V. Kevin
Heavens,
Smith, looking
yes.
forward to V, the TV series V.
We passed a bus stop ad when we returned from Europe the other night, and I pointed out to my wife, and I said, it's coming.
What
it's
is
coming.
V?
Ew. V is a reimagining of a very popular miniseries, and then series that was on ABC
from
years
the 80s,
ago.
Yeah. You don't remember the miniseries? Mm. The Visitors are coming. They are our
so.
Friends, and they wore red outfits. They
the
were
aliens?
From another planet.
Okay. Yeah, and they were supposed to here to be helping us and stuff, and then they pulled their faces off, and they were lizards.
They were lizards. They were harvesting
they
humans.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it's an original tale.
So V is returning, and okay. don't be scared this weekend when you start to see the giant letter V written in the sky
in
all
blood.
Over America.
They're oh, really?
They're skywriting?
They're skywriting the word, the letter V across the sky at 26 U.S. landmarks beginning this Friday. So all weekend long across these great United States of ours, you will be seeing a giant V in the
I
sky.
I thought that was some sort of conservative campaign that was like pro-virgin. Like, hey, everybody, keep it in your pants.
Could be the same
virgin,
thing.
Virgin 2009.
Maintain your hymen.
Whoa.
I'm just saying.
Such a filthy technical word.
It's a
clinical,
word.
But
it's one of my
filthy.
Favorite.
It really
clinical.
Is.
Playboy Mansion is throwing a big Halloween.
Speaking of hymens.
There aren't many there.
All intact, I'm
nope.
sure.
They're throwing a big Halloween party this year. If you have no Halloween plans, go
Wait
up to the
second.
Playboy Mansion.
They've never had a party at the Playboy Mansion before.
They are breaking their trend, and they're going to have a big party up there for Halloween.
That's weird. Wow.
Roll out half as a mummy?
They are opening it up to the...
I mean, with all due respect, the man is old.
He is old.
God, I mean, I want to live that way. I hope that
say,
I'm like, when I'm 93, I'm having parties.
He's got
know?
The life.
Totally.
They're opening up to the public, which doesn't
what?
Happen very often at
I've
the
never
big
heard
events
of that.
Up there
you can
there
trick
at the
or
house.
Treat at the Playboy Mansion?
Yes.
What do you think they put in your bag?
I know what the treat is, and the trick is chlamydia.
How do people...
The
is
trick
it a
is
party?
A nasty little rash the next morning. It's a
is
giant
it a party?
Yes, it's
the Playboy
Halloween party.
No, but
dude.
I'm saying you said it was trick-or-treating. I'm saying you could actually go there and hang
you
out at a party?
Go to the Playboy Mansion for Halloween at the Halloween party at the Playboy
that?
Mansion.
And trick-or-treat.
Yes.
And get a razor in your apple or something like that.
Is that a euphemism?
No.
How do you get in?
You pay money, oh, Kevin.
Yeah. In the Playboy Mansion, it helps to have a lot of money.
Yeah.
Tickets start at $1,000.
Okay.
Wow.
Right? Per person.
Does it come with sex?
I do not believe so.
It better for that much
better,
money.
Yeah.
If you'd like VIP access, which I guess means...
Sex?
Sex.
Yes. Even now we're getting to the nitty gritty.
Entree into the grotto.
Oh, yeah. That's what I call it, too.
Yes.
The grotto. Let's keep the grotto clean.
$15,000 for the VIP.
Done and done. That's worth it. $15,000
wow.
to enter the grotto?
Yes. All the proceeds, crazy. By the way, are going to the Wounded Warrior Project, which aids severely injured veterans that have served in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
It is a
noble
charity
cause.
Event. But if you've got an extra 15 grand lying around, then you can spend Halloween with Hef and his brand new 19-year-old
no way,
girlfriends.
Man. I'm just buying a human being if I've got an extra 15 grand. You could probably buy a human for that.
Keeper.
It doesn't have to be a her.
Oh,
I'm
dude.
Just saying, you buy a human being.
He's right.
All right.
In the dark, dot, dot, dot. You know what I'm saying?
Celebrity yes. DUI du jour honors go today to Hill star Stephanie Pratt.
Yeah!
Man, I always thought she was so responsible.
I don't know if you heard about Spencer's sister, Stephanie, but she was pulled over yesterday morning at 3:45 a.m., furthering my theory that nothing good ever happens after 2 o'clock in the morning.
Is she on that show? I'm not familiar with
she's
that
She's on
show.
The Hills. She
so
is Spencer Pratt's sister.
That tells me nothing.
You know Spencer
I've
and
heard
Heidi.
Name,
familiar with
yes,
them.
Yes.
This is his sister, who is also now a cast member of that show.
Now, when you say a cast member, it's scripted reality of some sort?
Way.
Yes.
Okay,
way. Right.
And like,
so they bring her in as a character at one point, like, ooh, it's my sister. And
right. And she's going to mix things up.
Really? So, like, she could... And now, whose sister is it? The boy or the girl?
The boy's
the boy.
Sister.
Oh, so they
Spencer.
Can't even use her to, like,
no.
hey, he's trying to sleep with the boy.
No, I don't think so.
Well, they could.
They could.
Ratings would spike huge.
Skyrocket. Apparently, she was tossing a few back at Empire, which is a nightclub here in Los Angeles. It was Holly Montag's birthday. Is Holly her? Is Heidi's sister?
Heidi's sister.
She's just having fistfuls that night, is what you're saying?
Apparently.
Just couldn't keep it out of her palm?
She got popped at 345 and was released on bail. So there you go. It's your latest DUI from the world
of celebrities. You said it was a celebrity DUI.
Well,
good point.
She is, sort of.
In other news, there's a dude who got pulled over on the freeway yesterday. You don't know his name, but he's just as important.
And I'm about to break Kevin Smith's heart.
Oh, don't do it.
There better not be an anti-Gretzky story in there.
No, apparently actor Vin Diesel has pulled out of the XXX sequel, XXX, The Return of Xander Cage.
Oh, God, no.
Because he disagreed with the length of the title.
No, apparently the director Rob Cohen has quit the project, and now Vin believes that the character can't get his just desserts in this film, and so he will be leaving the project as well. So we will not see the return of Xander Cage as XXX.
Must explain the phone call I received to direct
the return
movie.
Of Xander Cage.
Like, we lost the director and the actor.
And star in.
XXX, it returns to his waist.
To his sweatshirt size.
XXX, the return, or the goodbye to the waistline.
Size of hockey jersey he wears. XXXL.
I wish.
Today's celebrity birthday is John Lithgow, who is very entertaining as the Trinity Killer over there on Dexter this season. He is 64 years old.
Was Dexter cutting you a check or something? Is it third time?
That's what he's on right now.
All right, fair enough.
If Third Rock from the Sun was going on, I'd mention that project.
All right, fair enough.
Xander Holy. Actually, I did do the panel at Comic-Con for
See?
Dexter this
there
year.
Is a connection.
I'm just saying,
I knew
I've got
it.
Some
I'm
friends
like, wow,
over
man,
there.
That's fair. And he likes it.
I'm just saying, he likes the show. Full disclosure.
I like them to do well. The former champ, Evander Holyfield. Real deal Holyfield. He is 47 years old today.
My wife watches the Oprah.
Does she
know? Said that Holyfield and Tyson were on the same
they
show.
Were.
Talking about the whole thing.
Crying like babies.
Talking about boxing and biting each other.
Yeah. Biting ears off and stuff.
They didn't bite each other. It was really just
one
Tyson
guy bit
one
the
way.
Other guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. That's you know, the other guy wanted to bite back, though.
Of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
Jon Favreau. Who, of course, gave us Iron
Favreau
Man.
Favreau looks amazing for 52.
He is 43 years old today.
Oh, is that right?
South Park co-creator Trey Parker is 40 years old, and comedian Chris Kattan is 39
You forgot
years
the most
old.
Important birthday.
I did?
15 years ago today, Clerks debuted in movie theaters
today
across the country. This is the 13th
day
birthday
of Clerks.
Of Clerks.
The 15th anniversary.
Happy Clerks Day to you, Ralph.
Well, happy Clerks Day to you, too, my
that
friend.
Is big.
The lamest holiday since the
Arbor Day. It's the Arbor Day of film, all right?
Since the Star Wars Christmas special. Happy
at
Life
least that,
Day.
At least people like that.
Happy Life Day to
we
you,
We sing
sir.
A song, too. It's yes, like, in honor of Clerks, we gather here. People hold lights, Gatorade bottles with candles in them. And it's a beautiful thing in Jersey. I'm missing it right now.
What else happens? What else happens?
And then they play a hockey game, ceremony hockey game on the roof.
On the roof?
Yeah. And
sweet.
We all pretend it's the 90s again. That's
Ralph Garman and I walk the show up.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We welcome Cheryl Hines to the studio. Hey,
hello.
Cheryl.
Hi.
How are you?
Is this where the microphone should
be? It should be up right in front of your mouth.
Oh, really? Yeah. Pull it up.
Lift that up.
There you go. Talk
getting
right in.
There you go.
Yes, it
that's
is.
That's better.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Cheryl is not on Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is odd.
She occasionally has a cameo.
Every once in a while.
Saw a glimpse of her earlier this season.
Yeah, I come and go.
What's up with that?
What is up with that?
Well, you know, Larry.
I thought Larry was trying to get you back.
He is.
Tell Larry, less Rosie O'Donnell, more you. How about that for firsts?
Yeah, he's not trying that hard, is he?
Not really.
Not really.
Well, he's dating women in wheelchairs, which.
I know.
But the thing is, he's trying to get his ex back. That's
right.
Like the big thrust of his storyline this year, supposedly. And he's dating all kinds of broads.
Well, yeah, that's, I think, part of it, too. He wanted to date.
And have you back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Do you come back?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I think I'm on the next episode.
Because he's trying to cast you as George's ex in the Seinfeld reunion special.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's brilliant in that he didn't ever want to do a Seinfeld reunion special. And has figured out a way to put it into his show without doing a Seinfeld
the show within the show this
special.
Year.
Yeah.
But smart. To get you back. But then all of a sudden they haven't mentioned it in like a couple of weeks barely.
Yeah, I know.
That's odd.
I know. But it's back next week.
Are you sure?
No.
But
I feel like it is.
They get like one line an episode. It seems like pay a little service to it.
Yeah,
right.
To just like keep you.
Hey, you're working on the
Jeff
Seinfeld?
Jeff Garland will say, so you're going to get your ex-wife on the Seinfeld? Yeah, I'm working on that. I'm working on that. Hey, look at that girl in the wheelchair. And then they just kind of move on.
That is true. It's true.
But Larry, in real life, I met him one time in real life, and he is very upset that everybody wants him back together with you, it seems like.
He was.
He was very like, F you. I know what you want. You want me to get back together with her and blah, 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 blah. I don't think he likes having his hand forced.
He doesn't like anything.
Yeah.
So having his hand forced. Yeah, he doesn't need people telling him what he should do, I suppose.
Well, there must also be a certain amount of awkwardness because his real life crosses over into the show and vice versa and stuff. So when his marriage hit the skids,
yeah,
I guess it must have been difficult to deal with that on a fictional level as well as dealing with it in real life.
Well, yeah, that's interesting because, you know, we had already shot us getting divorced on the show before it happened in real life. But then it aired after it happened.
I gotcha.
So that's probably weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like
there's a reason that happened at that time, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Is he supremely unhappy?
No, actually. He's not. There's no right answer to this. He's actually a pretty happy person. That being said,
he's not.
He doesn't like he doesn't necessarily like people.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? But that doesn't mean that you're always unhappy. It just means
you're unhappy around people.
Yeah. I've been in his office when someone has called and said, "Do you want to go to lunch?" And he'll say, "No." And she was like, "Well, you don't want to just get together?" He's like, "No, but if you want to talk about something, go ahead and do it now." And she said, "Well, I actually thought that we'd just catch up." He's like, "No." So, I mean, he doesn't like to, you know, sit around and chit-chat with people.
That's what Bina's like.
Yeah.
On this
yeah.
show. He's very much like that. He's not here today, but he...
Not so much he doesn't like people. He won't even come to work anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. He used to call people. His wife would invite them over, and then he would call them and uninvite them. Kind of the same thing.
He would cancel plans behind his wife's back.
Yeah, I don't think she liked that very much.
Why not? That sounds fantastic.
Let's talk about the process of doing the show a little bit,
okay.
Because it is an improvised show.
Yeah.
I believe Larry has sort of a storyline that you guys adhere to, but everything else is made up. Your background is Groundlings, right? You did
a lot of
improv and sketch comedy.
I did, indeedy.
As an actor...
Did you just say indeedy?
I did.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you prefer the process of having a script or working without one? I mean, you've done so much now, improv work, but a lot of actors would be scared to death to work that way.
Well, it's really fun just improvising everything.
Right.
It's fun and it's...
It's fun for you because you can do it.
Weird.
I would be scared to death.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you haven't done improv at all, it would be really scary. And
I've seen Kevin do stuff where he has the lines written for him, and he can't pull it off. Do we have a scene as Mr. Humphrey from that new movie that is in?
No, we don't. I'm sorry.
Kevin has a small role in a film that's coming out. What's it called? Dark Dream? The Dream Rider?
Dark Real.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Kevin plays a guy who's at a bar, who bumps into a lady at the bar.
She's the star of the movie.
She's the star of the movie. And here's Kevin's performance.
No time like the present.
Excuse me. That was it.
That's him.
That was it. That was my whole role.
I actually thought that was pretty good.
Thank you. Thank you,
Cheryl. I smell a golden globe. that's just me. I'm just saying.
A friend of mine did the movie, and I begged him to take it out. I was like, please take that out. It's not good. He's like, nope, not doing it.
Nope. No.
So you
up,
prefer
you
the improv over working with a script?
Well, you know, at the risk of sounding like a life is so great. both ways are really very cool. But working without a script, you know, for the first 2 years of Curb, Larry wouldn't even show me the story outline.
I
would literally drive to the set. You know, wherever we were shooting, it's all on location. And the joke was that when I was getting my hair and makeup done, I would beg the hair and makeup people to tell me what the show was about.
Why would he do that? Just he thought it would keep it fresher?
Yes. He doesn't want people thinking about what they're going to say or their responses. I mean, all of our guest stars, they don't really get to see anything.
They don't know what they're there for.
No, they don't know what they're there for. And when you come into audition for the show, you don't know what you're there for either. Sometimes they'll give you like one line that will say,
"Excuse me," something like that.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it'll be like, "You don't like Larry doesn't like the food you just served him."
Okay, so you just work on
and
that
and go. Yeah, so you just work on that. So it's really fun. I mean, it's different because you're not in front of an audience. I'm sure if you were doing this in front of an audience, it would be
More pressure.
Terrifying.
Sweating
yeah.
bullets.
Yeah, I mean, it's more, when I go back to the Groundlings and I do an improv show or something, I am so much more nervous about doing that than doing Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's like, you know, it's sort of secondhand now. But even when we started, you know, the cameras are rolling and you're not live. So
if you mess it up, it's not that
yeah,
big a deal.
Yeah. I mean, disapproval
Does
from
he yell at
Larry.
You?
Yes. He yells and he hits me and it gets crazy.
Wow, that's not good.
Well,
do you guys just shoot tons and then they edit it down afterwards into...
Well, editing is the hardest part.
Yeah, that's what I bet.
It is really the hardest part. I'm sure we do shoot tons, but, you know, it could be... If it's just the two-person scene, like, if it was a scene with just me and Larry... We might do two takes and then we're done.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a scene with three or four people, you could literally do 15 takes.
Wow.
So, yeah, our editors really, really rock. Indeedy.
Now,
welcome to Rocktober.
With the Seinfeld reunion storyline, does he not tell Jerry what he's going to do? You just have him show up?
Well, I think, no, Larry and Jerry actually got together because they wrote some of the script for the Seinfeld reunion.
Oh, they did for real?
For the show inside the show.
I hope I'm not.
Wait,
no,
for
I
the
show? I think they mentioned that.
For the real show or for the show inside the show?
For the...
They wrote the Seinfeld, the reunion.
Yes, for the show inside the show.
Okay, good.
But they had to, you know, get together and actually write the Seinfeld part of it.
Right.
So it was really kind of, you know, it's so weird seeing those two together writing and, you know, crossing words out. And then getting a script at some point, you know, you actually see Seinfeld scripts around and it was just trippy.
That's weird.
Weird, yeah. Very weird.
Do we have to take a break?
Yeah, we need to take a break. Cheryl Hines is here from Curb Your Enthusiasm. Sometimes not.
But yeah, depends on the episode.
She's going to be on this coming episode, and we'll be right back on the Kevin. We have Cheryl Hines in the studio from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yay!
Tell me about the guy that lives with Larry on that show. That is that guy.
J.B. Smoove plays
J.B.
Leon.
J.B. Smoove.
Yeah.
Smoove with a V.
Is his real name.
Is his real name.
That guy's the best.
He is so funny. He's really very, very funny. And, you know, knowing that the show is improvised, it gives you a new respect for J.B. Smoove.
I brought in a clip from last night's episode. This is Larry, who went out with a girl in a wheelchair,
mm-hmm.
had sex with her.
Yes.
She didn't feel anything.
Denise handicapped.
Right.
Yeah.
So then he comes back to the house, and this guy asks him what's going on and why it didn't happen. And they had this conversation.
Did you bring it?
I brought it.
You do your thing.
Yeah.
And no response at all.
Oh.
If you brung it, if you really brung it, man, it don't matter what the wrong with her. Coma, handicap, any of that shit. I don't think you brung it.
I'm telling you I brung it. I know when I bring it, and I know when I don't bring it, and I brought it.
You did your thing.
Yes.
You did a dizzle on her, right?
I did what?
The dizzle.
The dizzle?
You did your dizzle on her, right?
Yeah, I did my dizzle.
That means you did your thing, right?
Whatever.
Yes. Right?
Yes.
Bring the ruckus to that.
Oh, why? I suppose you think you could have gotten a response?
You goddamn right, Larry.
Bullsh**.
I would have had that tap dance for Larry. I'm around. Give me her goddamn number. I go over there and twist that up, Larry.
I'm not giving
I'll
your number.
Bend that bitch like Beckham, goddamn it. I have a goddamn pretzel. You should have broke that in two pieces. You know what I'm saying? You should have came back with the bottom half of that. You know what I mean? What you going to do?
I don't know.
That was all ad-libbed.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's
yes.
impressive.
That is.
I wish I was yes. J.B. Smoove.
It's speed and accuracy right there.
Yes.
Yeah.
He brings the ruckus to the ladies.
He does.
That's
broken
what he's
off
known
the bottom
for.
Half of that.
Yes.
Now, Cheryl, you're directing a movie.
I did
yes.
direct a movie.
And when does that come out?
Serious Moonlight. It comes out December 4th.
December 4th.
Yes.
And who's in that?
Meg Ryan, Timothy Hutton, Justin Long, and Kristen Bell. Yes.
Meg Ryan's competing with you for the Seinfeld gig. How did that, what's that all
you know,
about?
That happen?
It is so strange because, you know, we had already shot Serious Moonlight. And then Meg and I were texting each other because she said, oh, Larry asked me to be on the show. I don't know if I should do it or not. I'm like, of course you should do it. And she was, you know, didn't know about improvising and all of that. And I was like, oh, my God. All you have to do is just be you.
Right.
But I didn't realize what part she was going to play on them. But yeah, we're competing for the same role. Which is just kind of weird.
Larry's doing the Seinfeld reunion on Curb Your Enthusiasm so that he can get you back.
Yes. Right.
So he wants you to play the role of George's wife.
Ex-wife.
Ex-wife.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And Jerry wants Meg Ryan.
And has already
just run into Meg Ryan. I just ran into her. Can you believe that? What are the odds? I think she'd be great for this, Larry.
Yeah, and so Jerry asked Meg.
Right.
So you know what's weird about the whole this season is on the show I'm playing an actress, and it and of course in real life I'm an actress, and it's a very vulnerable place to be in as an actor. You're always auditioning and trying to get the part, and so on this on Curb I'm in this vulnerable place of trying to get this role, and it's with people I know like Meg Ryan and Kristen Chenoweth, and I'm like, this is so weird. Like, I feel like I'm
actual tension.
Life. Yes.
That's
yes.
So funny.
Are you going to have to try out? Or are you going to have to audition for the
Seinfeld
show?
Well, I can't tell you that, but let's just say nothing comes easily.
Okay.
To anyone on that show ever.
To anyone on that show ever.
Yeah. It wasn't pretty cool to see the four of them back together again with Larry on that set and all that kind of stuff. I saw a little bit. I guess HBO had sort of a coming attraction
scenes.
Behind the scenes reel. And to see that cast assembled in that apartment and in Monk's diner and all that kind of stuff. A little spooky.
It was. I mean, it really was like a moment when I'm sitting there thinking, this is my job. This is my life today.
Kind of weird.
Very weird, because usually there's nobody around while we're shooting. It's just me and Larry and the crew, and very quiet. And it's a closed set all the time. And we never shoot on sound stages. So to walk into this gigantic sound stage and you have the Seinfeld set up, and you have all of the people. Larry brought back a lot of the crew and people that worked on Seinfeld. He has them standing around doing what they did on the show.
Oh, wow.
Like behind the scenes, even if it was someone like the script supervisor or something. So you have all these people with their Seinfeld jackets on. And
that's weird.
And tons of cameras, because we had the behind the scenes cameras. And then we had our cameras, and then we had the cameras set up as if it were the show. So I just felt like I was in a different world. And it definitely felt like I was guest starring on their
Seinfeld
show.
Yeah. Now, those guys, is the reality the way they presented it, which is that Larry never wanted to do a reunion show because they're lame and everything else? Is that true or no?
I don't know. You know, what I heard was that no one... I heard that no one ever asked anybody to do a reunion show
for Seinfeld.
That's hard to believe.
So, but I'm saying I don't know. I just sort of heard that here
right,
and there.
Right.
But yes, I can only imagine. In under no circumstances would Larry want to do a reunion show.
A real reunion show.
A real reunion.
Yeah.
Show.
Yeah. Talk about setting yourself up to fail. I mean, the pressure would be enormous following that show.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So this is the perfect way to do it with show within a show. So they don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Are they going to do it? Is there going to be a Seinfeld reunion show, an episode?
Well.
And if so, is it going to be in the next couple of weeks? We need answers.
You don't know. God.
She can't tell us.
I can tell you that things were written.
Okay. Things were written.
There were scripts.
Promises were made.
Okay.
There were sets.
Uh-huh.
There were costumes and wardrobe fittings.
Okay. So yes is what
Snack
you're saying.
Tables.
Well, snack tables. Snack tables.
Wow, now it's serious. Curb Your Enthusiasm is on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock on HBO. Fantastic show. Sirius Moonlight comes out December 4th.
That's right.
Is this going to be a huge release thing? Is it going to be a
It'll be limited. It'll be a limited release.
This is a special effects blockbuster Christmas movie?
So many special effects, you guys.
Wait.
Oh, my God. The car chases
alone. Cars turn into robots and stuff?
Yes.
Oh, I can't wait.
Something like you've never seen.
Meg Ryan turns into a Volvo.
That's great. A what?
A Volvo.
Volvo.
Yeah.
I didn't understand what
with
he said
one
for
syllable
a second.
Away from something.
That's correct.
Really rude.
Really
What's
wrong? Up with the Volvo?
But you're directing this. Is this a new direction for you?
It is. You know, Adrian Shelley, who wrote and directed and was also in Waitress, the movie Waitress, who so sadly was killed after that. She had written this script, Serious Moonlight, and her husband, Andy Ostroy, and Michael Roif, who produced Waitress, approached me and asked me if I was interested in directing.
What was your first response?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Are you had you ever directed?
Well, I had directed television before. So, my first thought was this a little too crazy, you know. But then I read the script, and I also felt like, at the risk of sounding, super Southern California, but I felt like, you have to look at signs from the universe. Like, somebody somewhere is asking me if I want to direct this film, and it means a lot to those guys. They clearly are very invested in the welfare of the script. And so I took it seriously. And like I said, I read it and I really loved the screenplay. I just loved it. And so I searched my soul and I called some friends like Zach Penn and Larry Charles and Barry Sonnenfeld. And I was like, can you guys help me through this? Can I text you and call you? And they said, yeah.
That's
what I did. I was texting.
Were you confused? Did you know what you were doing?
Nothing inspires confidence on the set than when your director's calling another director asking about a scene.
Just a second. I'm texting.
I want to see what Sonnenfeld has to say about this show.
I honestly would step outside. I was like, oh, I just need a breath of air for 1 second. And I would go outside and be like, I don't know what to do. Yes. But on the outside, I was very confident.
Good.
On the inside,
you were scared to death.
Well, we can't wait to see it.
All right. Serious Moonlight comes out December 4th. Cheryl Hines, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Sundays at 9 on HBO. You are in this next week's episode.
I feel like I am. I haven't seen it.
That's a 70% chance.
You are shaking.
Excellent
I think
chance
so.
Of Cheryl in this next
okay.
episode.
Yes.
All right. Thanks
we'll
for coming
that.
In, Cheryl. We appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Guys.
Okay. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. We have a Gives Till It Hurts blood drive. I said that well. This Friday at Universal Studios Hollywood. Ralph, you're going to be there.
I'll be there, and so will my friend here, Mr. Kevin Smith, will be joining me all morning.
Do I have to give blood?
Yes, you do.
Will they
should
take
I,
your blood?
Yeah, I was going to say, should I refrain?
It's nice that your
morning?
Blood's already medicated, so people who need
much,
it in a hospital
totally.
Situation
you're
can
getting,
all...
You're getting some good blood cells and some fun blood cells.
Go to krock.com for the details. It is 9:47. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, and time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat with special host Kevin Smith. Got that ready?
Nope. We should play that special intro we made
do have
just
an intro.
For that special occasion.
Yeah, but I became host.
Let's wait. It's worth it.
Correspondent.
All right, here we go.
It's now time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat with special correspondent Kevin Smith.
Would you like to be co-host? Is that? Would you like to change the billing?
Because I'm happy with the billing. It doesn't need to be. I'm big enough.
We
I don't need a bigger
Kevin
billing.
Smith's Showbiz Beat.
It's your world, dude. I'm just a squirrel trying to get a Showbiz
with,
Hollywood
with
beat report.
Little buddy Ralph Garman. We could put it in that
no
way.
No way. You're the chief. I'm here to help.
Whatever,
I'm here to support.
Man.
Tell me what's going on. What's been happening in Hollywood for the last hour?
Well, Monday morning we always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Kevin,
we do that already.
We do it.
Let's whip down the list
several times. Several times a day.
Because it matters in this town.
Because
right?
some people aren't always listening for the whole show. So
right.
they tune
they
in,
might
you know,
come
occasionally.
In later on.
They might want to say, well, I wonder what the number one movie at the box office
was. But I would
was
imagine
the
people who would care about that sort of thing, their lives depend on that number, so they knew it on
they
Friday.
They knew it already?
Yeah.
Well, how about the people who are just vaguely
people
interested?
Who are just like, hey, what happened to that
that's
movie?
Curious.
All right, that's fair enough.
Where the Wild Things Are, number one in its debut weekend, $32.5 million made it so.
Pathos wins again.
Yeah.
Childhood's End wins again.
I really...
Original. This looks good, man. It's a good looking
movie. I
enjoyed
how not Hollywood it was.
Yeah,
you
very
know?
Much so.
The kid was very real. It was sort of grim at parts and a very adult film about childhood.
It's almost an art house flick.
Almost.
I hate to use the I word, but almost an indie flick.
I said that to my wife.
Made by a studio,
it
though.
It felt foreign. It felt like a foreign movie almost to me.
It did.
Yeah. Which
Spike
is,
Jones
which
is amazing.
Can be good.
Spike Jonze, he's a talented dude. I remember there was a time years and years ago, if I may name drop, in 95.
Please.
I took a photo with him and Robert Rodriguez and a dude named Rusty Cundiff, who made Fear of a Black Cat back then.
Right.
And then there was one more dude, Eric Schaefer, the guy who did...
Oh, that relationship thing. Yeah.
And Spike Jonze back then in 95, everyone was talking about what they were doing next. There's a bunch of us who had done second films, and Spike was actually taking the picture. And he's like, I'm going to do a kid's movie.
I really want to do a kids movie. And I remember going like, this is the smartest man in the room because that's going to conquer, man. That dude's imagination in a kids movie.
Yeah.
Who's not going to go? And it was and turn it into a good kids flick at that.
Yeah.
Amazing. Hey, that story really goes nowhere.
No, it was good.
Can I finish it well?
It
can I finish it well for you?
It was tight.
And then I offered Spike a handy and then we had gay sex. Yeah. It was Hollywood. Of course we had gay sex.
Lots of cocaine.
A lot of drugs were done and then...
Law-Abiding Citizen was number two at the box office, then Paranormal Activity. People still drinking the Kool-Aid on that movie. I don't get it, but people seem to like it.
Paramount made that movie or just pick it up?
Just picked it up.
Smart.
Bought it for like a mil, I think, or something like that.
Isn't it weird how now the current studio business model is to do what the indie films did in the 90s, just make interesting movies or buy interesting movies.
Yep. Couples Retreat was fourth. The Stepfather was fifth.
Speaking of interesting movies, Couples Retreat being number four.
There you go.
I didn't see it. You see it?
I did. I enjoyed it.
Did you laugh a lot?
I did.
You just saying that because you don't want Vince Vaughn to beat you up?
No, I am a big Vince Vaughn fan.
Sure, you're sure you are. We're all Vince Vaughn fans. We're just all terrified. He's going to punch you in the face. Vince Vaughn is a terrifying man.
Favreau, Jason Bateman, all those guys make me laugh.
I love Jason
Bateman.
So
I laughed quite a bit throughout that film.
Right on.
A lot of people
Peter
don't
Billingsley
agree with
directed
me.
It.
I know.
Everybody should be going for that reason alone, just to give it back. To Peter Billingsley
how
for all
joy
the joy
he
he's given us every Christmas. I agree. Good for Peter. He's a good dude, too. One of the few good dudes in this business.
Really?
Yeah. The other two I can't vouch for, but Billingsley's a good guy.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs was sixth. Zombieland was seventh. The Toy Story re-release of Toy Story and Toy Story 2 was eight. Have you seen the trailer for 3?
No, but that sounded very Irish. You're like, Toy Story and Toy Story 2.
Toy Story and Toy Story 2.
Thanks for putting out Toy Story.
Have a cup of tea. Surrogates was 9. Invention of Lying was number 10 at the box office this week.
Don't you got any gossip, dude? Never mind real news.
You
I want to hear some dirt. Yeah.
Want something juicy?
Who's zooming who?
I'll tell you what.
Really?
I went back and I pulled Aretha. Thank you for at least acknowledging and not letting it sit there awkwardly.
But really?
We have a segment on the show called Would You Like to Take That Back, Kevin? Maybe you'd like to play later this week.
Put that in the file. We'll do it tomorrow.
I'm keeping it. Who's zooming who? I'm sticking with it.
Lindsay Lohan in the news.
What'd she do?
She had a bit of a court appearance last Friday.
Four.
She's in a little hot water. Well, see, she had a DUI back in 07.
Mm.
She still hasn't finished her court-appointed alcohol classes yet. They really want you to finish
those.
Give
her a break. It's hard.
Especially when you're drinking all the time.
Wait, it was 2007?
2007 when she got her DUI.
And she hasn't finished.
She is.
So wait a second. She got in trouble for driving drunk.
Yes.
And all they, instead of like going to jail or doing time.
She got probation.
They said, look, all you have to do is go to these classes.
Correct.
Once you're done, your record's clean.
I think rehab also was part of the probation.
And she didn't finish the
classes. She did the rehab, but she hasn't done the alcohol awareness classes.
And
who
spilled the beans?
Well, the Superior Court Justice, Marcia Revelle, said, did you finish your classes?
Said, Marcia. No. What a rat Marcia is.
She said to Lindsay, I'm rooting for you. Oh,
why?
That's sweet. She's
what
rooting
does that mean?
For.
They're not supposed to. They're impartial.
I guess she wants to see her recover from her issues with alcohol.
Okay. Celebrities, man.
But she said, if you don't stick to your probation rules, you will be sent back to jail. So Lindsay apparently has to get on the stick and start taking those classes.
I object to may I object in a case that I'm not in the room happening?
Yes, you may.
Object that the judge would say, I'm rooting for you. Yeah, I don't think she should be saying that.
I don't think she's rooting for her to get off of the charge. I think she's rooting for her in life to
I don't
get
care.
Her life.
I don't think she should say that. I think she needs to be impartial. I'm going to criticize that judge.
You don't want the judge to want her to have a good life?
You watch, now I'm going to get pulled over left and right.
You're like, I hear you like weed. Get out of the car, you fat, funny clown, stoner boy.
Criticize the judge.
All right, Ralph and Kevin, we're out of time, just so you know.
Oh, okay.
We got about 30 seconds.
Hollywood's never out of time,
sorry,
my friend.
All right. birthdays today, John Lithgow, Evander Holyfield, John Favreau, Trey Parker, and Chris Kattan all celebrate their birthdays today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Nice.
I walk
done.
It with them, too.
And so does Kevin Smith, and he will all week long. So
Kevin
please
Smith
come
will
back.
Be here tomorrow as well on the Kevin and Bean Show.